We're going to bring the meeting to order. Nancy, would you ask the prayer for us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for the many blessings we receive. Thank you for the safe travels we've had and that we could all gather here today and ask for thy presence during this meeting and that we could accomplish what we need to accomplish. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Larry, would you start the roll call?
Larry Clarkson. Kelly Stoll. Johnny Greenway. Brett Satir.
Joe Bose.
Nancy Brayton.
Your name.
You have a name.
Say,
Larry Bear.
Oh,
Lee Bell.
Grant Palmer.
Larry Meltzer.
Candice Bose.
He didn't know it.
And the board. Everybody knows the board. Thank you very much. We're going to give, we have a movie crew here. We're going to give them a little bit of time to give us a rundown of what they want, what they're looking at. And go for it.
I'm Kelly. I live in Kanab. I'm the Kane County Film Commission. So it's actually more of a TV show. And we're just in the scouting mode right now, just looking for some locations to stage this TV show. It kind of builds on a TV show that was here a couple years ago that many of you are familiar with. So we appreciate your consideration and letting us go tool around. So this is Danny and Brett, who are representing the production company. So we're going to go see what we can find.
And, can you tell me the name of the company?
The production company is Electus.
I'm sorry, one more time?
Electus.
Electus.
It's a production company, and it's NBC is the channel.
Thank you.
What are you looking for in an area?
Exciting stuff.
You've come to the right place.
If you have faith, I'm not faith.
The only thing that raises the hair in the back of your neck is a tree on fire.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Maybe a bit too exciting.
That's yeah, pretty low key.
Now, it's generally going to be a. The scope of the program is going to be a presenter with a celebrity. Being dropped down in an exciting manner. In this case, with a helicopter, probably a rappel on a helicopter. And they have to find their way through nature. In this case, over there. And whilst they're doing that, talking about life and having some challenging experiences, like some fears.
Are they coming naked?
I actually talked to them once about coming to Kane County where they drop some people off that are naked and they have to survive for like 3 weeks, but there were some permitting issues there.
Oh, good.
A little disagreement.
we can't do commercial film permits in wilderness, which is where they want it to be.
Yeah.
So, and most of that's all on public land. So,
well, that's definitely not us.
No.
So that's just a way that for us.
Well, whatever you do, don't send them over to the POTA. Because that's like going into the movie Deliverance.
Good name for it. Yeah.
They'd never come back.
Who is your point of contact on the board or individual? Is it
Larry? Well, I think what they're here for today is just a brief introduction.
That's mine.
Like if they find spots that are on private property, obviously, like in the past, they'll have to have an agreement signed and confidentiality and all that stuff that goes with it. So they're here basically to make a point of contact. To get the board to say, will some one of the board members, hopefully that lives in Kanab, be able to sign this? So if we find what we're looking for, and the other guys that come in, this all is going to happen fairly fast.
Everybody,
and they're planning to be here late.
I've got one in here. I guess I should grab one.
Where they're involved with people that have already filmed here once before and have scouted here two other times with us, so they kind of have a good idea of what they're looking for and where they're going to go and the Bow Valley boards and around. So if they can put it together, they would like to have somebody from the board authorized to say, good to go. I'm not obviously on the board, and I'm really not. I'm just in the know because I'm in the know.
But you are boring, so you're close.
Yeah, I'm boring.
And you have an intimate knowledge of the ranch. And what's available. Thank you.
So is that about it, or you want to stand up and give us a little more?
Well, if that's all the information you need, then that's all, yeah. It's, kind of, it's mainly about the locations that we like to find out.
So most of the activities that you're going to do are going to be within 50 miles of here, is that what I'm...
Yeah, we try to contain it as much as possible because this is a continuous journey, and unlike some of the other shoots that we filmed also over here, it was easy to pick up the presenter and drive him an hour away from here, do another shot or do another scene, pick him up again, but we can't do that with this one because the scope of the show is that the presenter is taking the celebrity on the journey, and to the celebrity this is all unknown. So she, in this case, is just gonna be there, and yeah, it's gonna be part of this journey. And for her, it's just gonna be from literally a travel from A to B, and not like a movie set, if you like, or like a pre-setup something where they move location every time to do a different scene. This is literally like a little journey for her, and on this journey, she comes across or they come across very challenging.
Is it a one night overnight?
It's a one overnight, yeah. And at the moment, we're also looking at doing the overnight fancy over here. If you can find like nice, so they're looking into like overnights in hammocks. That's what they like to do. So okay, that's great. And it's a one overnight thing. So they start on day one, do some exciting stuff, find an overnight, mm-hmm. overnight here. Next day, they actually walk out of the environment, or whether they're going to be picked up in some exciting ways.
What is the time frame?
The time frame.
If you decide to come this direction, what is your time frame?
For now, I need to nail down the locations and see what the possibilities are. So let's say I can find a nice area where like they can do a rappel out of a helicopter, where they can go through some nice scenery, or even do like a ski run. Or
we're talking about summer or in the fall?
This month.
Okay. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like 20...
To be in the film on 23rd of June.
We have them on in a cabin already.
What's that?
We have them in a cabin already.
Okay.
In a cabin this year.
Okay.
Possibly more. We're
going to
talk about that later.
Yeah, there's a cabin in this western area.
You guys will provide us a liability release form.
Yes,
that's standard.
We'll all go through the production company. Basically, my job with actually looking for locations for the journey and doing the safety side of all these things. And there's like a whole people from the production crew that come in later. They will all make sure that on a release form, on a location permit, all that, that's all part of it, like insurance details, all those things should be nailed by them. Yeah.
Back to you, what is going to be the benefit? I mean, obviously, you've been working, trying to get business into Kanab.
Sure.
So give us an idea what...
Well, there's lots of benefits, exposure, economic benefits in addition to the publicity. And it wouldn't be Little Hollywood if we didn't have some filmmaking going on.
Exactly. Well, I just want to know what your role in it. Obviously, you're not hired by the county to have fun.
Does your spring stand to collect money for the site location? At all? Typically, they do.
Yeah, if you do have if there's a permit fee, or if there's a fee for location, then yes.
Typically, we do. I think, Dave, you've done that in the past, haven't you?
Well, that was my point. You know, I'd love to see the movies out. You know, about it, film. This has been quite an area for 50 years.
Sure. Well, and lots of we've had tons of projects, and so it's good to have this in the database and. It's definitely marketable from a county standpoint. So
I think Ben would maybe have some other information. I think he was at the point of contact the last go around and knew what
that was
in and out.
He was. In fact, I tried to contact him when we first heard from them. And he didn't call me back. But, yeah, he had that contact before, and it worked out well. So.
Are you all going to be around for a while?
Yes. Well, we're based in Kanab, but for today we're going to be around here at least, see for what kind of things we can find, and then until filming starts, unless we can't find locations, and then there might be...
Well, I was just wondering if any of the board wanted to, you know, get with you, it might be a good thing to talk a little bit, if there was any other questions and any ideas even.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Larry is second to none. Maybe Brent, right behind him there, about knowing this area. And there's a lot of expertise here.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, he just pointed us on where we want to go right now. When we leave here, we're going to go see what we can find.
Okay.
Sounds good.
We'll contact Larry if we get stuck or.
Actually, I think Brent's the man for that one. He's here all the time.
He's the resident expert.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for giving us some time.
Yep. I'm sure we'll be talking to you again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Pleasure.
Yeah, there's somebody to go by on the way back. Is that right?
If we can, yeah.
Are you going to be hanging around, Larry?
Yeah.
I need to talk to you.
I want to sit here. But it's nice to know what we find here. Such a rebel.
I think we need to talk about it. I mean, at least discuss it in private. I think you'd probably be the contact. Don't you think Larry would do about the best job? Getting out on the... Especially if he's got to do a little... Oh, yeah, he can. He don't have the time right now. He doesn't have the time to do that.
You can't even find him.
I know. I can't find him right here on the ranch, no less anybody else.
Tell them to.
You know, Linda, maybe we ought to give them several phone numbers to call.
I just gave them my email address.
Okay.
So, and I have been in contact with them before, so yeah.
I'd like to talk to them again before the day's out, if there's a possibility, and discuss with the rest of the board, you know, a few ideas even. I mean, we could make some money.
Exactly.
Excuse me for 1 minute. Dale, I'll be right back. It's your...
Did you find the sign in sheet?
I didn't even know.
Yeah, there are.
I saw three. And then I put you guys on.
You're pretty close to right.
I just missed one letter. So we're not on this thing. Okay.
I know, that's the problem. We're recording, so that is
on the order. I'll put on recording in the other hand.
Cool.
I'm heading that way. But I might not go home till Tuesday, but I might go home
by
Monday.
We'll go by a little bit later.
You want me to take it? I will.
Okay, we'll do that.
Because I definitely have to have a lunch with them. Oh. the one that you need to form for this thing. But it wasn't to exclude you. That was just the group that was sitting together.
That was well worth getting them.
So it's up to you if you want to.
Sure, I'll be on it.
Okay, Jody.
The two together, can't we? Or
it's a whole separate thing, so I don't know how to play together. But
Nello, if we'll have both of them going at once.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We always have to have the other one. Yeah. The main one. This is just for this project.
Okay, let's move on. Before we get into the treasurer's report, after the meeting today, anybody wants to go up to the area of the spring, which is a big issue right now. Larry is going to be here to take anybody that wants to walk it and see what they've done. Okay, Jody, you're up.
Oh, what about the minutes? Oh, we don't have minutes. You have
minutes? We don't have any minutes.
From April?
I wasn't here. I haven't seen any. She wrote some.
All right, well, I wrote some up, so I'll have to get them at home. I didn't know we didn't.
What I'll do is I'll take both of them together and combine them, but I haven't got it.
Did I send you across? I sent him the day that's like the next day.
That's right, Nancy.
Say that again.
I sent you the minutes the next day.
Do you have my new email?
Did it go out to everybody?
No, I never got it.
They went out to everybody.
Oh, they didn't
go out to me. You told me to send them to you, and then I guess you compile them with whoever.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, anyway, if you'll give me the minutes, I'd be happy to do it.
Okay.
I'll resend it.
I sent out both the April and the May registers for the ranch manager's account and the Deer Springs Ranch checking account. Did anybody on the board have any questions? I didn't get any via email, so I'm assuming everything's okay on those. Yeah. I don't know if there's any questions anybody had. The only thing that came up on that when I was doing it was noticing the zipline.com purchase, and I was like, I don't know why that decision was made, but and where that came from. But when after going through the budget that we put together, the only place that can come from if we keep that is in activities, which we only have $300 budgeted for activities, and that $300 is set for the annual meeting and whatever Olympics, because Shauna was footing the bill on the Olympics herself before.
I haven't ever charged the ranch.
But we allotted some money for you to do that. But last year, I think the annual meeting cost us around $300 because we wanted it nice, and we had the band, we had the cookout. So, and if we want to do that again, it's going to take that $300. So I don't know where the other money is going to come from. It might wash out at the end of the year. We don't know, but we do have a couple items in the budget that already are at the limit. We have about three categories that are close to the limit. We'll go over that next.
Okay, I guess we can do that when it comes to activities, so move on. I don't know what to tell you about that.
Nancy, being Paul's not here, would you give us a little update on that?
On the zip line?
Yeah. Is it here?
Is it here?
Yeah, did it come?
It's in my car at home. I forgot to bring it out.
Okay.
I leave it in my car so that I can catch them wherever they are when they come into town.
Does anybody on the board want to make a statement about the zip line?
Who knows about it?
Well, it's here.
I do. I'm the one that wanted to pay part of it if necessary. So,
let's get that behind us one way or the other.
How long is it? Do you know, Nancy? How long is the cable?
Nancy wasn't really involved with it. It was Paul.
I don't know any of the
particulars.
Is it just cable or is it also pulley?
It's in a box. I haven't looked at it.
I would imagine it's the whole shebang.
For $300, it should be.
Where are we planning on putting this thing?
In the
lower pond.
And who's going to take care of the liability if somebody gets hurt?
I'll talk about that when we get to my part of it.
Because he's on legal. Yeah.
Okay, let's. We can't get by it, so we'll so take it up later. We'll take it up on the way through.
On your treasury.
All right, moving on to the P&Ls.
Profit and loss for lay people.
Okay, profit and loss sheets.
Did you just hand
we'll go through.
Shauna's taking minutes.
I am taking minutes. What happened?
And since we've already passed April, we're just going to jump into May because that's the latest P&L, so we'll just start there. And what I'm seeing, some notes for Paul too, Nancy, because some of these things are his department that were over on our automobile expenses for the year already by $1,300. We know that's not going to be the end of it for the year, so that anything overage that we're going to need to spend in auto or repair for the Kubota, for the Ford, for the Rhino, is going to, again, have to come from a different department as we go through the season to see where we have some left at. So we're over on that one. Cabin maintenance for Paul and Nancy, we're at 81% right now. We've only got $1,600 left in that category. Most of that stuff I know you already did, and everything should be good to go for the season. But when incidentals come up, we're really tight on it. So just note that.
I think we're pretty much, it's pretty well done for the season as far as cabin maintenance. I mean, other than replacing a faucet or something somewhere.
Okay. Fuel, we're really getting close on the fuel. We're at 86% right now, so we've only got $1,300 left to spend for that. That's concerning because we know we're not anywhere close to being done on that. So we're going to be marginal there. Well, we're not going to be marginal. We're going to end up being over at the end of the year again. Headquarters.
Can I interject something there?
Mm-hmm.
Linda, because I'm a, I don't know. The gasoline unleaded, isn't that what you said that they were purchasing at the in town because it was cheaper, so we should still have a stock of it here?
We purchased it in the wintertime when the price went down. We did it in town.
So that's not part of this budget?
Huh? Yeah,
it is.
Not part of this budget.
It is.
So I'm saying, is that why we're a little high already because we were purchasing more because we bought it in town?
We filled our tanks, a month and a half ago?
I don't know.
And that's when they came out and filled the fuel here. It was about a month and a half, 2 days.
They did unleaded out here?
We have unleaded and diesel, yeah.
It's February or March when they get it.
Yeah, there's none left, is there?
Oh, yeah.
Is there?
Well, in reference to the fuel, we were going to give Podunk some fuel. I never heard that we ever give it.
We did. Oh, yeah. It's all taken care of. Yeah, that's all taken care of. Larry, not Larry.
But I never heard the end result.
Lee has the key for the tank.
I have the key for the tank, and I'm going to use 20 gallons of it. That's just to start fires, I suppose. So, okay.
So that is one category we're going to end up being over at the end of the year. So how far over, we have no way to tell yet. But we can't obviously say stop driving. So
some of that is the increase in price.
And we do have an increase in price that Linda was just notating on that. Okay, headquarters area, you see we're really getting close. We're at 80% right now, Nancy, so let Paul know he's got basically $400 left. We can find something worthy to do with that. And tools, we're at 100% already. We're just squeaked over 100%, so if a major something happens or something breaks and we need to buy another tool set or something, whatever equipment that falls under tools, we're going to be over the limit, over our budget. And, quick side note, on roads, is that all we have right now? We're still doing okay on the road budget, so we've got to think of more projects that,
we can use it on these other things.
I know, but there's other places in the road branches that need done. That's priority.
I did have a small invoice. I forgot to bring it out, but I've installed a couple of culverts, one that Art and Linda and Paul asked me to over there, and one up here going into the Half Moon Reservoir. Paul had me switch out. Just odds and ends, things out and around, nothing huge, but...
Do you know ballpark what it is? Ballpark?
Doesn't matter.
$800.
Okay. So
less than $1,000.
Okay.
Yeah, we were expecting it.
As far as roads, I think, talking to Larry Meltzer, there's the road that goes behind Vance's lot. It dead ends up in there, somewhere in there, lot 148. But before you get there, the road's washed out. So if there were a fire in there, he says the fire truck couldn't get in there. So I don't know. And all it would need was just plow over the dirt and make it so you don't need a culvert.
Is that coming down from the tank down toward Vance's?
Are we doing that on the roads report, or are we doing it on the budget report?
Up to the bottom.
Yeah, there's that one drainage that comes through, and it just washed out.
Doesn't
need a culvert.
Doesn't need a culvert, just fill it in.
Well, might be able to do it.
What's the number of that road?
Cougar Lane?
That's the Cougar Lane.
Is that what it's called?
Cougar Lane.
Cougar Lane.
It's the one up from you, Quarterhouse.
Next
one up.
It's down here.
No, I don't know what the name of that one is.
Yeah, when you make a left out of the gate here, the first
right. First right.
First right.
Nellie's.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the greens have the two lots, and it's...
That wouldn't be a... That's not a big deal.
No, only if the fire truck has to get in there, so there's no emergency on it, but...
You can't get a truck through it, right?
Well, yeah, this time of year, there is an emergency.
Well, I mean, it's not stopping anybody from getting to their cabin, but...
Can it be done with a Kubota?
I
think with Larry's schedule right now, it might be a time-wise, we might be able to get in there with the Kubota.
Get Paul to do it. Yeah, why not Paul?
If you spot the Kubota right there, you may be able to do it before...
I think it's next to one. You got a map?
At least get enough dirt in it to get a truck through.
Okay, moving on. And then the last one is
the... How much is left in road? Sorry.
Back up here.
You've got it on your list there, Nancy.
About 12,000.
Okay.
It's under your paper.
Well, with Larry's about 11,000. Okay. After his invoices.
Right.
And the last one is the water resources. We're at our limit. We've just squeaked over a little bit, so hopefully none of the cabins get a spring a leak or anything like that.
For what?
The water resources, system maintenance. I guess that wouldn't come under that. The cabins would be under cabins. This would be our tanks and such, so we're at our limit on that, too. That's the end. Do you have anything else to add on that? That's the end of the financial report.
I got a little shorter and a little thinner. More feminine. I'm getting in touch with my feminine side this week.
It's about time.
I gotta raise it.
I know. Okay, so for the last 2 months, Paul's been building fence and cutting trees up Meadow Canyon and did the corrals out here. I don't know if you guys go out and look at the corral. There's, and the chutes, they're actually workable now. So they can do their cattle work here. They're not having to haul the cows out to, they haul them to to Diamond Valley every year and do all their branding and everything there. They'll be able to do it here now instead of hauling them. And that can be an activity too. And Brad Hunt is now a member of the ranch. They bought lot 149, I think. 149. I believe so.
Yes.
And they would like, he would like to see that be an activity at the ranch, you know, that people can come and participate in if they want to. But he was, probably November. But there's, they would like a spot in a meeting. The Hunts would to talk about some of the activities that they would like to bring to the ranch and have available for events like your family reunion. You know, to be able to, they have the stuff and everything to do like a huge Dutch oven cookout stuff. They've done those things before.
Good.
So they want to be able to bring that to the ranch, but they need to obviously talk to the board about it.
Wonderful.
You know how that all works. We obviously have opened the cabins. The cabins are up and running. They have the new furniture put in. Paul has replumbed cabin 3. Mice issues are pretty well taken care of. You know, there's... And then, but there is an issue that we would like to change some things next year, but we need to, like, start it now. In order for, and this has nothing to do with your family reunion, I want to say that up front. We had a learning experience last weekend that showed us what it will be like when you come, and it's perfectly fine. There's not any problem with it. It's other than, okay, like the Hunts usually, they come every year and they have their tents out here and stuff, you know, by the garden cabin. And, you know, that's like once a year we have a group that has, that's that big. It's not ever been an issue. Well, that will happen again this year. And we had a group last week that was in cabin 6 and 7, and they were just here for the weekend. But they probably had 100 people up there.
Wow.
And they said, well, where should, you know, we're going to pull the trailer up to cabin 7. And I told them, well, just park it out in that center area, you know, because you can camp out there and there's the fire pit and stuff there. They can use the campfire facility and everything. Well, they ended up having trailers and tents and everything, which was just fine. They weren't disrespectful. They didn't do anything wrong. But they did, I mean, they used the bathrooms, they used the showers, they used the facilities that we have those. But I think that if we're going to have, if you're going to camp outside the, you know, what the cabin holds, there should be a per tent, per night charge or something. And we need to figure out what that charge should be and implement that next year. You know, like have that start in January. Yeah. You know, if this is what you're going to do, it's great that they're doing it.
We need to cover our the impact.
Yeah. But it does make an impact. It's not huge. I mean, they didn't use, you know, a ton of hot water.
But yeah, but if that happens 5 or 6 times during the summer, it could be. It's a good figure.
I mean, we already have, I mean, the bathrooms are available for the people who are staying on their lots that want to come in and shower and everything, and that's wonderful. But I think that when you're going to have a bunch of, you know, a family reunion camp out like they did, that maybe we should implement a charge.
When they made their reservation, we understood that it was one trailer coming besides the people that were staying in the cabins, and it ended up being a lot more people and several trailers.
It was a family camp out, and it was wonderful.
It was.
Wouldn't it be nice if that happened every weekend, and they paid for it?
Yep.
Yes.
It would.
You know, the problem is the ranch is here for people to enjoy, and that should happen.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Beautiful program.
Well, I think, Dave's going to cover that in his. That's part of Dave's discussion.
Okay, because we've had the guy in town, the expedition guy in town, who twice has come out and used the facilities in order to do that. And we charge him, he said that he was paying $6 a head somewhere else that he camped. So because they change, you know, how many people they have in their group, it's not every time it's 5 people.
Was he commercial, you mean? He's a commercial outfitter?
Yeah.
Bringing him here to camp?
Right. They came in to fly the airplane.
They actually came in
the
airplane.
Oh, okay.
When he comes here, he does model airplanes.
That's not, it wasn't
they build
part
them
of his
here.
Business.
They actually build them here and then they fly them.
It's quite interesting watching them.
It's really cool. But we charged him $6 per person to stay.
Per day.
Right. So
it was quite a few of them here, weren't there?
What we're trying to do is establish a policy, and we can't make policy.
Yeah, we need to establish some sort of policy so that when somebody calls Linda or drives through and says, "So, you know, can we camp here?" We can say, "Oh yeah, you can camp right over here, and this is how much it is. We don't have a dump station at this time, but this is what you can do. You know, you've got free use of the bathroom. You can use the approved fire pit here or there. Whatever." It's fun having them. I mean, there's no issue with it happening.
It's just
that we probably need to cover our expenses. Because it does cost a little bit anyway.
Plus you've got to haul trash more, so there's a lot.
Right.
There's a little here and there.
There's trash. There's, impact.
That's exactly right. Wearing the cabins out.
Okay, and that's probably all. I'm not as detailed as Paul. I kind of, everything's
about the
done.
Cabin
painting. They are coming back next week. The 27th and 28th to paint the garden cabin and cabin 3. But if you go around and see the other cabins up here, they're really nice. They look beautiful. They did a really good job.
Will that make all the cabins all painted
in the same color
for a couple of years?
Yes.
So everything's done except for the garden and cabin 3?
Yes.
Wow, they did
good. They did great, and they probably would have had them done already, but they've had some. They had a baby born in their, or two babies born in their family prematurely, and one of them died, and they've been dealing with the depressed mommy and stuff. So it's not been.
They really come out nice. I think we made a good decision on that one.
Linoleum in number 2, or flooring in number 2.
Yes. Paul put in the hardwood floor in, well, not hardwood, but, you know, it looks like hardwood. Floor in cabin 2. It's not, he wasn't able to finish trimming it out because there was people in the cabin. But he got the floor in before we had a reservation. So that's complete other than the trim.
New stoves.
And new stoves have been installed in some of the cabins.
New faucets.
And new faucets. And just new. We have a toilet to go
in. Oh, new toilets.
Cabin 4 has a toilet that needs to go in it. But we have the toilet. It's just not been installed yet.
Good. Sounds good, Nancy.
Does any of the board members have anything specific they want done by Paul?
Or me.
Next month for you?
How are all these?
Well, I want to find out about the zip line, but I can't say.
Yeah, well, I would, how about you, Dave?
I don't know if this is the time, but there's a lot of, like, wire crap.
Well, this is your report anyway. Well, I'll let him do his report, and he can just go right into it.
Let me ask one question. The board 2 months ago talked about RV locations, and they suggested 5 and 5A in the area there at the hidden cabin. I called Linda and asked if she could have Paul go in and brush those two areas to open them up and kind of clean them up, because the board asked about it,
right.
And it would also be helpful as far as our family reunion is concerned.
And I think he has been talking to Larry about that, and he was going to go do. He was going to start work on it, and Larry was in there working on it, right? So they've been discussing when that.
Yeah, because I told Paul.
To
I told Paul to go up there, and when he got there, Larry was basically had
the
guy up there.
He was going to put on the motor,
I don't know.
Go up and
they decided that
they're two different things.
I'm concerned about if we're going to use it for parking areas and you mow it, whether you end up with cut off.
Stems that'll poke holes in your tires.
Rollers and zebra stems to poke tire sidewalls. So I was just going to shave it off with the backhoe or a grader. And so he's just said this last week, you tell me what you get to or don't get to or what you want me to do, and I'll try to get to it.
Okay.
So we can.
Is that cabin 5 and 5A?
Yeah, that we used to. Used to be cabin 5 and 5A. It's over on Larry's lot. He bought it. Okay. Is that all? You got more?
What?
Didn't Larry get the cabin off that one when we sold 5 years ago? Who got it? Anyway, that's where it was. That
Doyle Edson got one.
Yeah, that's right. Doyle got it. Okay.
It was over by the French
Service. There were four cabins there, four buildings. To create two cabins, and I think Doyle Edson bought two of them and combined them to his cabin, and Joanne Packinger bought the other two, and I don't know who owns it now, over above
Fred Searles.
That was a good 10 years ago.
And I don't know. I don't even know who owns that now, and nothing's really happened to him.
Anything more for Nancy?
Okay.
Anybody have anything more for Nancy?
No.
Okay, Dave.
I've been talking to the insurance agent, and he's copied Linda on some things, and I'll be specific. Item A says liability release statement. They don't touch that. I asked him about them doing a release statement, and he said that's for your attorney to work through. And he said it's probably not worth the paper it's written on unless a person accepts the liability for something, recognizes that they were playing on the playground and or the parents were there with their children and there's obvious risk involved, and a person decides that it wasn't someone else's fault. And they don't sue, basically. He said there are people in this world that look for opportunities and they'll sue, and that's when our liability our liability insurance would cover them. And so, getting into that, the insurance and risk thing. Did you have something?
I was just going to say, if you have a lot of good PR, like Paul and Nancy, and with people like that, you probably won't get sued because of the way they handle it when something like that was to occur.
Okay.
Not particularly paperwork.
Being so expensive, though.
Yeah.
So, our annual policy went up $600 this year for no particular reason other than that's what the determination was by them. Usually it goes up $200 or $300, Linda, is that right?
Right. It's been $250, $200 each year. But
so no claims, and it bumped up to $600.
Right. Not good.
Yeah.
It's just nationwide.
Well,
it's nationwide. It's bad.
Everybody's getting pitched on it.
So
when I questioned it, they said it's because of the fire danger, and I said, you're not covering fire danger. That's another policy that we have. So.
Okay. Getting into some of the, we've talked about some of the totals of, we are insured for $785,000 here at the ranch, and that covers the buildings and whatever else, the water system or whatever, I'm assuming. Which, if we want to up it to $1 million, it'd increase on top of the $600. It would increase at $1,100 a year.
An extra 11?
Yes.
To $1 million.
$1,700. But most right now, most entities do cover for $1 million minimum.
Right. So then we get into something, and your numbers are, or your eyes are going to go cross-eyed when you hear these numbers. But I can email to you, or they'll be in the minutes. If we want to increase the liability, it's $1 million from $1 million per incident to $2 million per incident. It would be about $100 more.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad. So we should definitely do it. Then if we want to add $1 million umbrella policy, it would cost $374, which again I think we should do it. And basically, like I said, your eyes are cross-eyed now because of these numbers. But basically, it would give us $3 million coverage, and nowadays that's a bare minimum. Bare
right.
minimum is $1 million, and mm-hmm. something serious could easily go over that. So we could go over it again later on, but my recommendation would be definitely do it.
Okay, so what total for $3 million? What would be the total now?
It would be the 374 plus
1574.
The 100.
Right.
So 474 plus the 6 plus the 1700 we've already raised it. Plus, but what is it originally? So you're talking 1700 more.
It's 6,000.
We're paying 6,000
now? 6,000. Do you have that, Linda?
I'm sorry?
What are we paying now?
Right now? I don't.
You just had that one, didn't you? Just pay
I
that
think
one?
It's 6,000 and some change.
So it's 2174
it's
increase.
$6,287.
So it would cost us $8,174 to get a $3 million policy.
It's at $6,287 at $1,574.
And
that's the difference. Don't get confused. Just
so it's 6,000 plus 15.
Add 6,287. To
1,574.
It's $7,800. Yeah. That would be $3 million. And the umbrella, that extra million would add $1 million to either the per incident or the total coverage. If we have a disaster, I guess, and everything burns down, we would have a maximum of $3 million. And it's, again, there's a difference between per incident, like if we had two different claims in a year versus one big claim, that would be our ceiling is $3 million.
Yeah, they'll have to have a loophole somewhere to help them.
Yeah, sure.
We might bankrupt them.
Yeah. So, in a nutshell, that's what I would recommend.
When does that fiscal year start?
I don't
to be able to have to...
When do we renew?
It's June to June.
It's June to June.
So it would be now making a decision.
It's actually, we could add at any time, but we've already started the 14-15 year
right.
coverage. Just barely.
Will our budget be able to handle that?
Well, it's
$1,700.
It'll have to come out from somewhere else, and
I think it's pretty important.
It is pretty important.
Yeah, we got. I mean, we're talking zip lines. We're talking RVs.
Yeah, we're talking to people and
Linda.
What's the fire coverage?
You said fire is separate than liability?
No, when I was talking to her, we weren't talking about fire.
And I just said if the place burned down, so that's
not right. Liability.
This is just liability.
Well, that won't cover personal injury if somebody wrecks on a...
Yeah, that's liability.
The auto owner
covers, but not fire. So if you're saying it does not cover fire.
I have to look it up to know for sure.
Could you look at...
Well, I don't have the coverage on my computer. It's in my files.
Okay, well, I'm just saying we can't make a decision until we find out if it covers fire.
Okay. Do we pay a separate fire insurance policy?
I don't have a...
That's what we're asking.
There isn't a rider for fire, and I don't think it's a separate policy. But there again, I'm just speaking off what is on the top of my head. It's in my file at home.
Check that out.
So
then
we can make a decision.
Regardless,
you think we know whether we have fire insurance?
Yeah, you think that's bad?
Yes, it is.
I still think.
I think the cabins are each covered.
We could put it with a condition of that.
Let's make a motion. I'll make the motion that we go ahead and increase the insurance coverage
starting immediately.
Well, it has to be
the
this
first
month.
The end of the month.
Liability. We will increase it to the $3 million, and then he will still do due diligence on fighting about the fire, and I'll be in
a group. And that could change.
But let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Any opposed? You know. I don't think anybody's opposed.
And we're going to come back to insurance when it gets to the zip line. Okay, campsites.
So, wait, was that all unanimous?
Yep,
everybody
that was unanimous.
Okay. Campsites, camper regulation, camping fees. Where do we go with that? Because we could decide right now or...
Well, you know, the numbers, we should do some... you've analyzed this whole ranch. Why don't you come up with something and we'll vote on it?
That helps in activities too. So let's say that if they were going $6 per head, I mean that's not really terrible, even if people are camping.
But
whether they're here for a day
I think it's important to clarify. There's got to be a difference between members and non-members.
Yes, we have a charged member.
Right. Right, absolutely. So,
can you come up with some numbers?
Okay, I'll do it.
Well, does that mean that, let's see, a family of eight comes in, they pay $48 a night?
No. On top of the camp, or on top of the cabin fee?
No. This is for dry camping out in the field.
So this is
$6 per person.
This is a summer
put-up
tent.
Okay, I got to say, if I come in and I bring my family, we have a lot of family, don't we? Anyway, but if we bring extra people, say maybe we need to pay $6 a head for extra people that come in. I mean, that's not terrible.
It might be better to, but $48 is high. I mean, if you're going camping, with $48 a night, you're going to be maxed out.
Yeah, there's got to be some incentive to sleep on the ground.
You guys are making this too difficult. $1 per person per day. If they bring 100 people in,
that's
$100. We charge them $100 a night. If they bring 8, we charge them $8.
Oh, there you go. That's not bad. At
$1
per person.
We don't have to make money. We just have to don't lose money.
Yeah. That's our goal.
That's a good suggestion.
And I think
like
it's fair, and I think it's reasonable.
Yeah.
And I don't think we want to impede anyone from coming out here to camp.
Agree.
And if you can't afford $1 a day,
then we'll take care of it.
Person,
yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
Actually.
No, you're right, Brent.
Sorry.
Well, I agree with Brent in terms of per person, like a dollar. If you start charging people in a camper $6, we take our camper out and it's full hookups of everything, and you might pay at the most top maybe $50. But most of the time, it's like $30. You go to any type of
here in town, it's
do you have any other campers coming in?
$6. It's like
motorhome and stuff like that.
It could be $12.
Do we need to implement it right away?
For a veteran, $12 a night. For him, it could be like $6. So when you think about the charges of what you're getting, I think Brent idea versus $6 per person. $6 is a little extreme to be doing that.
That's not members.
Camping all the time.
That's not members.
Okay, here's a thought. We're always trying to make more money come into the association. So what if we do the dollar per person per day for members and then charge a reasonable market price for, number one, have one price for trailers that come in with that contain a family, the $30 a night or $25 a night?
Well, not even that much.
What
not even that much.
It's 20.
Because we don't have any great facilities for that.
Yeah, but there is, you know, I think down where I'm at, they charge 15 for dry camping.
I get $20 for a good hot shower.
$1 a day for members? $2 a day.
Yeah, there you go. You're so simple.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Love it. Thank you.
And if we can break even, folks. That's all Brent cares about, is breaking even.
For reference, Dan, what was the group that's been coming in and paying the $6 a person, what did they get
for it?
Nothing.
Are they
They camped up in the growth.
But they came down and used the bathroom or shower?
They could, if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yes. And they do get water.
Some of them do. But not all of them. I mean, they come down. They just camp. It's like paying to camp on our property. And
well,
I'm willing to pay it, but that's a commercial thing. $6,200
for the insurance.
That's not.
So we have a commercial rate now.
That's not somebody.
We want to make a commercial rate, like $6.
That's what he told us that he paid other places, and so we said, well, that sounds good.
$8,000.
And he's not here all the time. So he comes.
Right, well, I mean, I'm just saying, so if we make it a commercial, we make it non-members, or we make members.
Yeah, I just can't ever
be because we have to put some kind of rate out here. Are we gonna make a motion to this?
I have one concern with this. I don't care how much money we make on this, we're all going to be very unhappy if we find there's dump sites all over our lots, because we dry camp all the time, and I drive my campsite, go to the dump site, and come back. People at night filling 5-gallon buckets, watering trees all over the campsite. You can put so much water in, and it's got to come out someplace. So if we're making money, we better put a dump site somewhere, or they will dump regardless.
I agree.
And we're going to be
very
unhappy.
We have one right here.
And the money's not going to look very pretty or smell very good.
We do have a dump site.
And if it gets worse, we can always build it.
Well, let's get it developed before we do it then.
You just said the magic words. It's not developed.
Not developed.
It's not like they can't come and hook up.
They can't dump anywhere here.
Is it a working septic
system? Why? What happened to that one right there?
We've been told the tank is there and the set, but there's no place to put.
Vance has video of it on his.
It's covered with dirt.
I helped him do it. I know it's there,
but it's covered with dirt.
We just need to go dig it up,
right?
So, Larry, what would it take to put a dump? At least $20.
Looking for free volunteer time. Free is my friend.
Well, hey, why
not? No, it's not a big thing, but it should be done so that it's a professional. I mean, it's a dump station with water.
You gotta have a lithium man.
That's something Paul can handle.
Could you give us an estimate on that later?
No, we'll just get Paul to do it.
Okay.
Why don't you put that down for Paul so we can get that done?
Okay, put that on Paul's list.
There's probably no reason why we can't start these fees right now.
Yeah, but I think...
Okay, but we need to not start it with Dale Camp. Needs to not be...
Oh, not that. That's already...
Yeah, anybody... And Linda and I just talked about it. Anybody that... There's nobody else there right now.
Right.
That wants to bring in, you know, people.
So from now on,
yeah.
Any future,
we have the Clarkson.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Well, we need a motion.
I'll make it.
Anybody second it?
I'll second.
I think the level that you look at this dump station should be number one priority, because even though the Clarkson reunion is coming in, they're not going to be charged. We, as I said before, months ago, we need to develop something ready for them when they come in. So I think in the
should be priority
emergency situation.
Yep. We got a motion on the floor and a second. All in favor?
Okay, the motion is that we implement these new fees, $1 per person per day per members, 2 for non-members, 6 for commercial ventures. We will fix a dump station for a hookup with water.
That's on Paul's list.
Here, and that's on Paul's list. Okay. And then, anyway, starting immediately. So, as soon as we get Paul's list, we should do that.
All in favor?
Okay.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous?
Wow. I'm sorry, but can we back up just for a second? I got the $1 per member, it's $2, so, but we're going to still do a $6 per
commercial.
That comes in with commercial groups.
Yes,
it's $6.
Commercial
venture. That'll cover our movie crew. Station.
Hope, yeah. Okay, I'm in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Motion carried.
Who made that motion?
I did.
Okay.
You're still up.
Starting immediately, okay. Was that part of that?
Yep, starting
effective immediately.
We can't very well do it to anybody yet, you know, that already has.
No, I put, and no pre-existing, well, those are pre-existing.
Yeah.
So including pre-existing reservations, we can't include.
This is reservations coming in from
today.
That's it.
Okay.
Mr. Ortolani?
Yes.
May I also add, can someone on the board, is it Bob Allen, contact Vance Green to make sure it's on the website as such, so it's a follow-through for people who are still interested in coming in?
Good idea. Can you take care of that, Bob?
Okay.
All right.
Dave, on that item, we haven't never developed the 5A area up there because we were above the spring. Someone suggested putting in a vault that people could dump into and then pump it once a year. You know, there's not a lot of demand up there, but I don't have an idea what it would cost. To
put a septic tank in there.
Well, not a septic tank.
No,
be
a
septic
holding tank.
It's a holding tank to be pumped and hauled out.
Right.
So
you
that
know,
would be.
Dale, I have to make a suggestion. Instead of doing that, why don't we have one above ground on a lower lot that we could just drive off and pull it and dump it ourselves? Put it on a trailer. I don't know what unless the charge for pulling up here is low.
Wait. How much? Well, we got a porta potty here, and they come and pull that out.
It's not going to be that much longer, is it?
Because I don't know what they'll charge to drive from town to.
But if they're already,
I'm
saying,
they service
them.
Just get our own trailer and haul it down and dump it.
But once a year, you know, it's not going to fill up.
Pumped once a year.
Up at Crawford, the Forest Service has one there. The Forest Service has two or three around where it's a vault, and they pump it and take it out. I don't know who does it, but it wouldn't be hard to check on that.
Those are bathrooms or dump stations?
No, just
it's a vault. Just like, big, like a big
a holding
dump
tank.
Station. Yeah.
The trailers can come dump, next trailer dump, and then
they go
empty.
And they empty it out once or twice a year if need be. But
if
I don't know what the charge would be for the empty.
If we have a dump station down here, do we need that? If we have a dump station down here and Paul does it, mm-hmm. Our labor is included.
Because with that here, we'll have to be pumped more
I'm
often.
I
think
so
of the impact.
I'm going to haul a trailer 9 miles down here and then go 9 miles back up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think the impact would be too much on the one system. I think Dale's right. We ought to look into a holding tank up there. That way,
seems we've already spent an extra couple thousand on insurance.
We're not talking today.
Okay, good. We put that on next year's
agenda. Yeah.
What's that?
Well, that, yeah. Well, let's just,
we can stew over it.
Oh. Over 10 days.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's look into who's
the green stuff. Look into that.
That's
not a good dump either.
Okay.
Because it may have some food particles from the
But let's keep in mind, that's not a this year project. That's a like next year project.
I think we'll do 10 days on the black tank.
Okay.
If we do it.
As a matter of fact, what's what I do, see if the black tank doesn't fill up and the gray tank does, I'll empty the gray tank into a 5-gallon bucket and I'll pour it in my black tank in the toilet. Then I can go another couple days.
Makes it easier to dump later anyway.
Okay.
All right, moving on. We talked about this before. This is cabin revenue. So do we go over all these points right now, or what do we do? Because I've got Dan to mention.
Why don't you run through them real quick, and anybody has anything after what you're done?
We've talked about advertising and renting. And that was on hold because of the insurance liability.
Is that still?
It should be.
Okay.
You're going to have to come closer. I can't control the wind. We've got to move forward. So, as far as liability, the insurance agent said it doesn't change whatsoever. Whether we rent to outsiders or whether it's members that use the cabin, it doesn't change at all. He said nothing has to change as far as
modifications to the cabins, if they're good enough for the members, are good enough for the public. So, again, that's his...
One more comment on that. When I was talking to the insurance agent about the other stuff, anything that we do here, it might not increase our rates, but it increases our liability risk. We always have to keep that in mind. Whatever we add on, zip line, other members coming in, it's going to increase our liability risk.
Having said that, we have liability to cover risk. And so do we go the opposite direction and cut down all the trees, fences, and any buildings that are higher than 2 feet high, including eliminating the playground? Those are accepted liabilities, and there's a difference between something nuisance, an enticing nuisance or something where a child sees a ladder and wants to climb up to the top of it versus
or
a playground, which is also an accepted within the limits of the liability. If it's something like a zip line that's from a tower and it's high speed, then that's a whole different thing versus what I want to do at the pond, which is what we did before, which is what was done before, not me, but it was done, which is more like a rope swing, which gets back to the playground idea scenario, which is still within the normal limits of liability. So it's every single thing increases liability, but within the normal limits. I guess I'm repeating myself.
One of the keys to the liability on the zip line is that it's not homemade. That all these accidents that we're hearing about, and there's like three in the state of Utah, they were not bought, they were made. And the biggest amount of deaths with the zip line is heart attack. And then from there it goes down.
I didn't understand that.
We're talking one coming off of like a 15-foot 1,500-foot zip line.
Yeah.
Somebody could get their leg broke. You know what? I mean, yeah, they could get their leg broke on the swing, and I think that's where you're going with that.
And when I told him, because he had there's one at Provo Canyon, which is our frame of reference for us there, and it is off of a tower, and it goes down quite a ways. I don't know if it's 300 feet or something. That's what he had in mind. So I said, no, this one's more like 15 feet across the dirt above the water, more like a rope swing that you're not harnessed into. You go out over the water and let go. And he said, oh, well, that's like a playground swing set type of an idea. So very different, he said. He was going to talk to an underwriter to find out what his thoughts were on that, just to double check. But he said he as an agent, didn't see it as a problem. So, let's see. Back to the cabin future. So, I'll just go through these real quick. We've talked about advertising and renting. The insurance was, I think, one of the issues that we talked about before. Again, that isn't a problem. It's not a problem for our policy. It doesn't change things, whether it's a commercial or whether it's members renting the cabins. If we... use solar lights. I don't know how much the gas for the lamps consumes, how much, but it would offset the cost of a solar system or solar lighting system. So I guess we've got one that's in eight that's being used.
Seven.
Is it?
Seven.
How's that working out? I haven't heard nothing.
It works. Plus side to it for me that I think is a plus when you have the right weather. I mean, you can't. I don't think that it would be wise to pull the gas lights out. I think that would be a stupid idea because
it's a backup.
If for some reason the system fails for whatever reason, a rat chews through the wires and you don't have the system for a night, you have no light. But the good thing in it is Doug Hunt stayed in cabin 7 and he has a CPAP machine. And it ran the CPAP. Paul left he left one outlet in the bedroom that he didn't tell anybody about. He left it in the bedroom, behind the bed, so it's not readily accessible. And then there's one in the kitchen where you can, charge your devices or whatever. But he left that one in the bedroom, and we plugged Doug into it. He was able to use the CPAP.
Very cool.
Cool.
So
good.
It can. So that's a huge deal for some people that, like, they can't camp unless they bring a generator. But it does make noise when you turn the lights on in there. When you have three light bulbs running, the fan runs and you can hear it through the whole camp. And I don't know if there's any way to get away from that. So there are people that don't use. There was somebody stayed in there and they didn't use the lights because they didn't like the sound. They just used the propane. But that's their choice. And they have that option. So
I made that mention last meeting. I second what Nancy's saying, that it's a wonderful, wonderful, it's an empowerment that you now have when you stay in that cabin. We charge our devices. We rest at nighttime by electric light, and it was a wonderful addition. I think what I said was it's not just an improvement, it's a major improvement. And so, but I guess if you pull out all the gas, you're...
No, don't pull out the gas.
Yeah, don't pull.
We couldn't run it at night because we had children sleeping in those rooms up there, and then we kept wondering where the vacuum was.
But it does decrease the use of the gas because there's people that will run it. They don't care about the noise. Especially there's a lot of people that will stay in the cabin, but it's just a couple that stays there.
Yeah, and you don't hear it.
And they're downstairs in the downstairs bedroom, and upstairs they don't care. It's a hump up there.
Some people like
the
green.
Move on. The other thing about gas is the cabins are really hot, and if we're using the lights, they're even hotter. I went into six last night, opened both doors to try and get a little cool air in there.
Oh, I should have opened windows. It was really windy yesterday, though.
Yeah, it was.
Now in November, those are great.
Mm-hmm.
True. But not in the summertime.
Okay. So if, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it possible to turn the refrigerator on and off when the cabins are not being used? Is that going to save fuel?
I think you have to look at what we use in the store, because we never turn that refrigerator off. It runs year round. And it doesn't hardly use any fuel. And if you turn it off and on, you turn it off, and then you have to light it days before.
Okay.
In order to have it down to the right temperature. So we decided that probably is not practical.
We've talked about water heaters, same thing.
Water heater is a different story.
That's a different story completely. Yeah, that could heat the water in just a matter of an hour and a half max.
Also, we leave our refrigerator on year round, and also we leave we have an on-demand water heater. Use no propane. I mean, literally, not enough to even make a difference.
Right.
So the refrigerator is just nothing. Yeah, but the water heater, these gas water heaters that we're using here, those things, they keep the water hot all the time. Okay. And, you know, it's nothing to relight them.
So are cabins being used on the weekends mostly and not during the week? Is it something that Paul's going to turn on every time a cabin is? And I'm just asking.
I'd be the one doing it. He doesn't go in the cabins before people come in unless I say, hey, something needs to be fixed or...
Is there a problem for you to do that?
To light water heaters?
I thought we already went through that once.
And that's why I'm bringing it up again. I don't know what's been done.
Well, the water heater is a big thing for propane. Big, big.
I think the average water heater uses about a dollar a day.
Yeah.
There's 91,000 BTUs in a gallon of propane. A 40,000 gallon or 40,000 BTU water heater, which will cycle on every 15 minutes if you're using it. You know, like if you go in and open the tap,
it's on.
It can cycle on four times in an hour. In 2 hours of that, you're going to use a gallon of propane or $3 worth of water. The average propane fridge uses, in the summertime, uses 10 gallons a month and 7 gallons a month in the wintertime. Okay, because it doesn't, you know, it's colder. So when you start looking at all this stuff, we would be better off to start replacing our water heaters when they need to with a on-demand type of a water heater. I have one that's been working in my house now for 10 years. It's a battery spark operated. It's using the same batteries over the last 10
years. Yeah, ours is the same way. It's been in it 10 years.
You don't use any propane at all. Me personally, on the fridges, if you go in there on a Friday night and you got somebody coming in, or you go in there, I don't know when you take care of the cabins, but if you go in on a Friday morning and you got somebody coming in that night and you light the fridge, it'll be ready to go when somebody comes in on Friday night. And that means that half of the time you would be not using gas, whereas half of the time you would be using gas. The little additional, and the best part about the propane fridge is, it's not like an electric fridge. When you turn it on, it's the same thing. It doesn't all of a sudden use a whole bunch of gas to get it colder. It just takes a while to get it cold.
Right, right.
So we could cut the average propane use between 3.5 and 5 gallons a month per cabin, depending upon if somebody's in there or not, you know. And so if you start adding that up over 10 cabins, you know, the math is not hard. So if you look at, you know, that could be up to 50 gallons a month of savings, which at $3 a gallon is $150, you know.
How much do those tanks cost?
It's extra work, I admit. But if we want to, we seem to be stepping over dollars to pick up dimes when we could actually be having some real serious savings, and then that money could go back into cabin repairs and other stuff like that. I think it would be a worthwhile experiment, if for no other reason than to try it in one cabin. You know, just do that. Just shut things off and light things up when you need to.
So if someone's not there for a week, shut it down and start it up the next Friday when they come
right
in.
And like I say,
the other thing is
people show up here. I mean, I know that when I've handled things for people, or for the manager, they'll show up with 30 sodas that are warm, and they'll stick them in the fridge, and then they'll come down about 4 hours later and say, well, the fridge isn't working, my soda's not. And all of a sudden, so you go up there, and the fridge is working fine, they just put 30 sodas in there.
Right.
It's going to take a day to cool them down.
We have that conversation with people often.
And so,
Grant, what about pilot lights on stoves? Is that a big deal or not? I don't even know if they have pilot lights anymore. Are they electric? I mean, are they?
They're not electric.
Well, like spark.
They have pilot lights.
You need electricity for that.
You mean a piezo igniter on these fridges and stuff?
Well, I'm just saying, instead of having a pilot light constantly on these stoves, 24/7.
Well, the pilot light, a pilot light uses 1 gallon per pilot light per month. So on our stoves here, you're using 3 gallons a month to keep the oven pilot light on, and then there's two on top, one for each side of burners. So that's 3 gallons a month. Some of our stoves are really hard to light the oven. I don't know if that's worth the effort of totally shutting the gas off. I'm thinking that shutting the gas off to the water heaters, or shutting down the water heaters and the fridge, we could save a relatively significant amount of money per month, or propane per month, which saves us money. And I'm not saying go out and do it on everything, but we ought to experiment.
Okay.
The other thing we could do with the gas stoves, I know they last forever, but we have replaced them.
Right.
When we replace them with ones without pilot lights.
Exactly. And if we can find some that have battery spark
igniters.
That's what we have in cabin 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, see, there you go. Maybe that'd be a good one to test with the shutting it off.
Yeah, that would probably be a good one to test.
Is the spark thing the same thing as a glow bar? Is that what that is?
No.
That's different?
Well, there's a glow bar in the oven, I believe.
On your barbecue. You know how you...
Yeah, I know that. But I didn't know if it was still the same thing as a glow bar or not.
The glow bar is in the oven only.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. And so where do we go? Because we've talked about this before. Do we just do it? And I don't know how experimenting with one is going to make a difference. Ultimately, like you said, we're going to save money if we shut them down.
Let's save money.
Well, all I'm trying to say is I'd like to give, if Nancy's doing it, we need to see how hard it is.
Yeah.
Because it might... If it's an overwhelming task, if we're constantly having problems, then it's not worth it.
Right.
She can come back to us next month and say, look, I can't do it, and I'm sure the board's going to listen to her.
$5 worth of man hours
yeah.
to go.
Yeah.
I will try it.
Try it.
Yeah,
try it.
I'll
try it
for this next month.
Yeah, just
let us know what you think.
The other thing that we need to consider is what type of repairs or maintenance we can do, like winterizing, so that we don't have costly repairs in the springtime because of frozen pipes or whatever it is. Yeah. And so that...
Yeah, there's... Yeah, like, well, obviously in April or May when you open the cabin, you're not going to shut the...
But looking forward, trying to save money by doing the kind of things or preventing the kind of things that are going to end up costing us. Or if there's something that Paul's doing every year that costs us extra money, doing whatever's required in place with pipes or whatever, so we avoid those costly repairs. Then we talked about the propane tank rentals. Or selling.
That's only $1 a year, right?
No, we're talking about the ones that they're using on their grills that are left on and then next day they're empty.
How's that going? How's that?
That was never, it's not on reservations anywhere that they have to pay for propane. They've always come here and gotten propane. They just come down and get a tank. That's the way it's always been. And nobody has implemented anything to say that we're going to charge you $25 a week. And I don't think you have people come up and then all of a sudden you say,
it was in the news yet.
Right.
That we were
going to
start
doing
it.
Yeah, the suggestion was made.
I don't, you know what, $25 a week, but we can at least charge them for the $10 of propane they're going to use for the week.
Right, but the other expense that we've had is we've lost a couple of tanks.
Yes, we have.
$50 or whatever. And so.
But to fill the thing of it is, filling those tanks, we're paying whatever the going rate is. On our big tanks, we get a discount on those. It's a discount that I have to work on every month to get, but we get a discount on those when it happens. So
okay.
It's more expensive to put them in those small tanks.
So where do we go from here, Art?
We need to come up with a
right.
What's that? There you go. What should we charge per week for one little tank? The cost of it.
Are we going to use it the whole week? Or
the cost of what's in it?
But you have a gauge on those tanks and it tells you how much is in it.
No, I wish Paul was here because Paul, we talked about this extensively. And what's happened, and I've done it myself, so I know what happened.
It has a gauge.
You forget to turn the gas off, you get a little bit of a leak, and then the next day you go to cook a steak, and it's empty, so they run back down here and get another full tank.
Right.
We should charge for the amount of propane in the tank, at least.
Well, there's a simple way to do it, and it would cost us probably about $20. And that is all we need is a scale. And then you weigh it. When they pick it up, it's weighed. When they bring it back, it's weight. If they
use a gallon,
of propane, you charge them $3. You know,
$4.
If they use the whole thing, you know.
Well, from what Paul
they do
said,
have
that
these little screw-on valves, because I have some on these tanks. You got one that has a gauge right on it, and it tells you how much it is.
There you go.
They're really easy. Just screw them on before you hook them on.
So let's we should do something right away with that. We don't need to make a. I mean, everybody's in agreement. They should pay.
I like the scale idea.
So I like the scale idea. It's more accurate.
Yeah, the scale? But that would be... we're looking, even if it's not more accurate, we're looking at added work to Paul coming out here and weighing it and make a decision.
But they've got to come out to get the tank anyway, and they've got to come out to receive the tank.
Okay, all right.
I think that
Bob,
you keep a list on the wall.
That means that Paul has to
be here every time.
Somebody has to be here until they check out. If that's new, nobody's going out doing work because they're waiting for a propane tank to come down to get weighed.
So it's making you get a deposit when they pick it up to give it back when they return it.
So it's easier to...
They wait on you.
Okay, what if you just pay $20 for the week? It doesn't matter what you eat.
Would anybody object to a $15 or $20 fee?
Well, I think again, we just, nobody wants to make money. We're just wanting to...
Or bring your own, and so they announce on the website, bring your own tank, or we'll charge one for $25.
There you go.
Okay. You can the budget plan again next year.
Maybe we could make a motion on that one and go with it.
Okay. Yeah.
I make a motion that we charge $20 for the tank.
For a deposit.
Deposit.
Yeah. I like
it. No, just charge.
No, just charge them. If they're going to use the tank, they're going to use X amount of propane.
Empty, you keep the 20.
No, we're just going to keep it anyway, no matter what they
do. No.
Someone's got to be here. There's people
that
have
to clarify.
$20 fee to rent from the ranch.
No, it's just a charge. Period. Okay. I would say more like the cost. How much does it cost to fill a propane tank?
It depends on where you do it.
It's $3, 5 gallons. It's $15. Let's start it this year at 15.
Well, no, because it's $3 a gallon. So
yeah.
$20.
If I put it on the confirmation letter that we have propane grills, if you need a tank, it's $20 for
from the
week. Or for the stay, $20 for the stay, or you can bring your own.
Yeah,
you can bring
your own.
Own.
There you go.
Okay. And are there still briquette barbecues?
There are. There's one on the garden cabin, and there's one at the cabin one.
So just two of those? Okay.
I think we could buy them because we started thinking about fire danger. People don't. You would be, if somebody took a bag of hot coals and put them in the trash bin.
Oh my God.
Save your trip to the
landfill.
Yeah, also new tires. Okay.
Okay, so second.
No. You clarify it before we make a vote.
Okay. The ranch will have available for $20.
First day.
You can take it off.
I'm just going to put $20. They need to come get another one. They pay another $20. $20 for a tank for their barbecue grill.
You want in an email.
For tank. Yep.
And then that way,
you can get it over.
So they can have however many tanks. And then you're going to put it on the web, right?
Yep.
Just $20.
Take care.
If you want to use a tank.
What about firewood? Has anything been done about that now?
We didn't vote on this one.
Oh, sorry.
We have to have a second.
Second.
Okay, from Jody.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Yeah, miss again.
May I add?
No, Jody seconded.
Yeah, I got it.
Art.
We got it.
Who motioned it?
Art.
Yep.
Art motioned it?
Yeah.
I'll make you work, Bob.
And that's effective immediately, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. See, now I will do it because now I'm comfortable with it. I wasn't comfortable with it before.
Nancy, what about fire?
Yeah, there's too much work checking them.
I'll put it on the website. Right,
call for
Bob. Put it on the website.
Is that unanimous?
Oh, Dale voted negative on that one. Where
okay.
The
oh, okay. So we have
six and one.
A day and one day.
Why? Can I ask why?
I feel uncomfortable about nitpicking people five and dimes here. That's why we did away with trying to get people to be honest about fishing. $3 a fish. If it's linen, we want you to start paying your, linen and all these different things come along. I think that the Petrolane deal is going to be, it's going to cost us labor-wise to try and save some. I think cutting the hot water heaters off and things is those are good suggestions. But I think that people come and they'll say, hey, I just won't use the thing rather than paying $20. I'm only going to use it one night. I may not even use it then. Forget it. So I just think that it's those things that are unfriendly to people who come. We want them to pay their way, but I think it'll take more time.
Tell me if I'm wrong. Maybe we need to just increase the reservation fee.
No.
We did.
No.
I'm saying that because the flip side of that is we're spending money we don't have.
Thank you.
We did.
We're spending money we don't have. I mean, that's the only thing I'm looking at. And I think
what does the $50 reservation fee now cost?
Right.
So what? How much?
We voted on a $50 reservation fee to handle their drink of water.
How many years ago?
This is just a year and a half ago.
2 years? Last year?
Yeah.
Well, again, everything goes up every year, and we're not keeping up with it.
Is it 50? Is that the reservation?
It's 50.
Okay.
Well, let me ask this question. When those people were up there, you said there were 100 people. Were they using a grill also? Was there a barbecue grill?
No, they had their trailers.
But you have a stove inside the cabin.
100 people could go through four or five.
No, they had their own stuff up there. They were self-contained as far as they cooked out of their trailers and stuff. I don't even think they used to put it in half.
The event wasn't a problem. It just raised a question of we are having more and more family reunions, which is, yay, we want to have them, but we need to make some policies because of it.
Okay, Dave.
What about firewood? Has anything changed there? And are we nitpicking, charging people?
We don't charge people for firewood. When they need it, we tell them it's right there.
I think what we discussed at the February meeting was the fact that we had some people in that last summer, and Paul's when it brought it to my attention. They were using that wood every night, and they were doing bonfires.
I tell people, when they check in, we tell them there's a crude fire pit there and there. You're responsible for your own wood. We don't provide firewood.
There you go. Well, that's all.
You can go out and get it. It doesn't have to be this big to fit.
Well, they were coming down and loading up their trunk and going up there, burn it, and coming down the next day doing it again.
Well, and then there were some people that stayed in cabin 8, I think, that we had firewood at their house because it was still, I think it was in the fall. It was cold. So it was nice during the day, but it was cold at night, and they were doing that, and I happened to show up there, and I said, y'all are going to get cold because that's for your stove, and there is no more kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I said, you need to go get your wood because you're going to be sorry tonight when it's cold out and you don't have any wood.
Okay.
But it's not unkindly, it's just practical.
Right. Well, the children were running in the house and grabbing the sticks of firewood and running back. I mean, it was like I watched five kids. They just kept going.
Good plan.
Okay.
Yep.
One more thing.
Yes.
Have you ever been to any resort where that resort provided you with firewood to burn outside? No.
No.
So we shouldn't do
that. Yeah. Well, I think that's where we're at. That's but awesome. If you're taking care of that.
The cabin, we should supply it.
Yeah. Right. The heat for the cabin, yes.
All right. And then we're going to go back. We've talked about a per-person charge, not a per-trailer, because someone could show up with two people in a trailer, and are we going to charge them a dollar amount for a trailer, or is it back to a per-person?
I think you need to stick with the per-person.
Yeah.
So I just wanted per-person, just leave it.
Just wanted to clarify that. Okay. I guess that's all on the cabins.
We're excited on the zip line.
Because I'm getting pressure on from Art, but the idea is, how do we make the cabins pay? So, obviously we can go to up the reservation fee, which I don't want to do. And if everyone on this board has their own cabin except for me, I feel like I'm outnumbered because there's something to be said about someone that shows up and uses their own cabin and doesn't use the association cabin.
You're welcome to come down and use mine.
Okay, deal. So anyway, that's why we're trying to do this. Like everything, we want it, like Brent says, to pay for itself, if possible. Or at least to cover the charges.
Hold on.
The per person is for camping.
Yeah.
Right.
The cabins are still $95 a night if they are using more than their 2 weeks, or if it's somebody that doesn't own lot. Sorry.
Okay.
It's still $95 a night, and the larger ones are $145. So that per person is for camping only. Correct.
Right.
Am I got this right?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. I'm on your side. Okay. I have a little small place, but I don't want to pay all this extra stuff for staying in a cabin. So as a member, I agree with you. I like being. I feel like my assessments are covering my stay in the cabin for 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? And now Jody's trying to keep. She's trying to squeeze all this budget stuff together, and that's got to be separate. It has to be separate. If we're losing money on something, we've got to look at it realistically.
I agree to disagree.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I know. I know. I do too. I do too. So does Dave.
One more comment on that too, and I consider myself a cabin lover from way back when. I still love that cabin one.
Yes.
To me, if I didn't have my cabin, I would stay in cabin one still, and I would pay $50 a night to stay there as a member. And I think I was getting a heck of a good deal. So I wouldn't have any issue paying more for that cabin as a member, or it still has tremendous value to me. Even I would pay for it. I would pay $50 a night.
Dave, yes. This has been an issue for a while.
It has.
We know the reasons why the cabins should be providing for themselves. We know that there needs to be more money. Could you put together a workshop time, a committee, to come up with some ideas that would assist the board rather than, we can't do it, we can do it, should we do it? Present some things, because as we have seen with the budget, we're having a real problem putting everything together, and some ways might be objectionable to some people, but it has to be done in different ways. So I suggest
some kind of a workshop or a committee to actually, in person, work together, what are some ideas and brainstorming, to find out what we could do that would be acceptable by the
Okay. I think we're going to go over most of these same ideas and whatever new ones, starting with advertising and renting to the public, I think is our first. But someone needs to do the advertising. And so we can see what...
Well, that could be part of the committee, kind of, and then instead of just talking about it, you've got something concrete.
I agree.
Do you want to do this board, vote on it, and then go forward?
I agree. We've talked about
this
for a long time.
We've voted on it. We haven't done anything.
So...
But get something working.
Let's get something going. Paul should probably be in charge because he's the one who brought up the idea to start with.
With the advertising.
Well, we still need to get information from Nile back on that, on how it affects our taxes.
Are we
and
non-profit or not?
You know, I know we can make some money and still be non-profit. I know that. But where's the line? Where's the legal line for us that we can still hold a non-profit when we're selling to outside people and then our tax base on top of that?
I'll talk to Noel about it. I was supposed to do it. It was on my thing.
Yeah,
I'll
that's real important before we start putting advertising dollars
okay.
out.
Okay. And we'll get back to, I don't know about a workshop, and I don't know about organizing a committee. I'm not very good at that. So
we can make that happen.
Okay. I think we should make the gab rail happen as soon as possible.
Yep.
And then these other things that we're talking about, cutting the gas, that's going to save some money.
Yep.
Okay. Moving on to the zip line, where do we go from here?
Vote on it.
Well, don't we need a suggestion first?
Well, I think he probably went over the legality of it and everything. And now.
Well, yeah, and you know, it is like a playground thing, and whether something will happen or not, you know, who knows? And something can happen here, you trip over a rock, who knows? But I guess being the financial girl here, I'm thinking $300 for fluff. We don't have room for fluff. So I'd like to see the kids have the fun with it. But again, $300 is $300.
We have taken away so many of the kids' recreation in the last 5 years, 10 years.
Is it $300 for the zip line?
Yeah.
Yes. But are you pitching in half there, Dave?
No.
Well,
I originally agreed to, because it was originally, it started out as a Paul and I thing. But then my question is, why am I going to pay for it? If I pay for it, I'll put it up and put it down. Take it down. That's the way the arrangement was before. It was a member that paid for it, put it up. It was up back and forth. It was the cable was there, but the pulley wasn't. And so it was a permission thing, and most of the time it wasn't being used. When our insurance renews and an inspection is done, and if an inspection is done of the ranch, it could change the policy. It's possible that it could. But again, it goes back to at least our agent was going to talk to an underwriter and see what his feelings were. If it's one more piece of equipment at the playground, is that going to break the bank? Is that going to change things? He didn't think it would. Because it's not commercial, and it's not off of a tower, a long harnessed kind of a thing. So
the underwriter will get back with you on that.
He didn't, yeah. But the agent said it's not going to make a difference. And it's something that could happen 3 years down the road, especially if it's up to all year long. If it's up and they take it down in the fall, then that changes things. It's not a permanent.
Well, we should take it down. We make it a rock.
My opinion on this zip line, I don't care if you donate it for free and put it up for free. I'm 100% against it.
True.
You're going to have people that are going to be drinking. You're going to have kids that are going to be daring each other. Somebody's going to get hurt. I don't care if we have $10 million worth of coverage. I don't want to see a hurt kid. I'm against it.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank.
And we did have it up for 2 years before. Was it 2 years that we had it up? Nobody ever got hurt on it. We took it down and put it back up because we had a member that took it and stretched it themselves. We put a lock on it, I think, because we had a member that stretched it themselves. They ruined the cable because they tied it to the bumper. They tied the cable to a bumper
car.
Of their vehicle and broke it. So when we fixed it,
then we just took it down when it wasn't being used. And
so why
if people
would
wanted it up, then we put it back up again.
Just for information, why would they hook it to their car pump? I'm not clear on that.
So people care, people get drunk, they do dumb stuff.
This was not drunk people. This was not anybody that would even touch alcohol. This was
also
I've been here 14
these are people
years
that tell me how.
Well, why would you do that? What was the purpose of that? To do that? No, I'm just trying to figure out what were they trying to accomplish when they did that? Make the zip line longer?
No, it wasn't hooked up.
To tighten it.
They
were trying to tighten it up to use.
And they tightened it up.
Okay, I'm not a kid. I don't get it.
It wasn't a kid. It was a adult.
Well, see, they were taking horses away from the air location.
It wasn't tight enough on the pole, so they hooked it to the car to make it tighter?
No, they can't spend the money there.
Okay, I don't get it.
I'm
going to
go for it.
We had taken it down so it wasn't used without our knowledge.
Oh, and that's when they hooked it to the car bumper.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I would be curious. I would vote for it, but I would be curious. I'd have a stipulation in it to find out what, you know, what the underwriter says.
Yeah.
But if somebody wants to put up for a motion, we go from there.
I say if it's put up, it definitely has to be locked down at night so people can't go there and abuse it.
I agree. After dark.
How do you pick it up and put it out of mind? That's a lot of work.
That's labor.
Change to a tree.
Here's the thing.
Well, if you don't have it up all the time, it's not a big deal.
The pulley.
It's not
either you bring your own pulley or you use the one that's available. Otherwise, it's just a cable. So, I don't know about locking it up, because I guess you're thinking of locking the pulley.
The pulley to the tree, yeah. So they can't use it to slide across the water.
The pulley
or
wouldn't be there. The pulley can be removed anyway, and it would probably disappear or fall into the water or whatever. And so it's something that someone would check out and check back in.
I got a scuba tank.
Oh, so they come down here to check out the pulley, and then they bring it back and check it back in.
Yeah. Okay,
so I'm still hung up on the $300. I'm sorry.
Well, here's a thought. If that's the issue, especially if that's the only issue, Jody,
we can put it up for donations.
I've got a 100-foot cable that I absconded from the up by the well that I found. 100-foot would probably do it. If we could return that one, if it hasn't even been opened.
I'm with Joe then. I'm 100% against it. I went online and I spent 3 hours researching it. If we're going to stop anything, we need to stop the four-wheelers. The four-wheelers kill more people in this area than any other thing put together. 3 people died on the zip line over the past 10 years in Utah. And they were all 3 were on privately made zip lines. Now, if you want to lose our life, you have to put a liability on the ranch. If that zip line breaks, the people that built it are going to have the lawsuit.
I'm on our side. If we're going to put it up, it better be store-bought.
Yeah, something that we can go back on them. And plus, I think, I mean, I would be willing to donate a few bucks towards it. Because the last time that Paul and Nancy put that up, one of the most wonderful days that we had up here, our whole family was here.
Yeah.
Was out there in the pond. What do you do after 2 hours of fishing? Killed all the fish. What do you do?
Well, you know, that's a good idea. Well, we could have more members pitch into that thing. And
we could get, you know, the is not the issue here. The issue is if we're going to do it, there's more liabilities, Joe, not to disagree with what you were saying, but there's more liabilities that we overlook. I mean, the other day, the day I was doing the research on the zip line, I don't know if you got the email I got sent out, but the day that research came out, some movie star, she from her chest down is gone. I mean, just that day, and we got out here and coming down over the coal mine road. I was coming down there just maybe 5 miles an hour too fast, and I literally was holding on only with my handlebars. You can't see the ditches, and you know what? We got liability. That right there would have cost us a few million bucks.
They're like trampolines. They're so much fun, but so many people got broken necks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they started putting.
I don't want to see a kid get hurt.
No. You put up
okay,
a vote.
So let's make a motion. I motion that we get the zip line, however we pay for it. Even if we get donations or whatever, I think they should have the...
I have a suggestion for that. If we're going to keep the pulley down here and somebody wants to rent it, have them rent the pulley for $3.
$10.
Or $10 or something.
$10 for the pulley for the zipline.
And for the, it could be for the, their whole stay. And it doesn't have to stay up there the whole time. You know, we can take it up and down if we need to.
Yeah,
but you're nickel and diamond again, too. What, you have a swing over the water.
We're spending a lot of time on this. Let's just come up with a figure and go. Be a good done
boat. I like that. It'll pay for it. How about Nancy? $3 a person. $3 a day, and it's paid for.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I don't know where we're at now.
We need a second.
What was it?
Motion was we wanted
$3 a day. We're gonna
$3 a day charge until it's paid for.
Fine.
How much a day?
$3 a day. But and this
or
is $10
for the week or something.
This is going to add more labor hours onto Nancy and Paul because they've got to check that. What happened?
If they're not here, they don't have to check it out.
Right.
If they come back. Their labor is going
to
be.
No, you have to go up there and check the cable, right?
Right.
Yes, they have to maintain that cable.
He goes up there to check the water system and everything. Anyway.
Every day.
It's not like it's gonna. It's right there. You check it.
Maybe it'll already be paid for before the annual meeting.
Oh, probably it will.
$3.
So it probably will be.
So is Dave still paying half?
Why stop the payments when it's paid for?
Yeah.
You're going to have to replace it?
Yep.
You got other
there you go.
To use it for in the playground?
Yep, leave that out. It's absolute good. With them, the ranch is going to be paying for fixing it. This way it's paid for.
I had a question. I heard that Dave was paying initially half of it. If he's paying half, so we're talking about...
Well, he did. That was an option. That's not
it's an option?
That was... He was making that.
No, I didn't know that before when it was bought.
I said, make him pay half. When we get caught up, we'll pay him back.
Oh, gotcha. We don't need it if we have enough
money brought
back before that.
I'll pay for $25
bucks
of a half. How's that?
If we already got it in there,
We don't even know if the boat's going to go through here, so let's...
If got in the budget, then by the time we have the annual meeting...
Anybody second it?
For me.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4. No.
I just can't. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's motion passed.
So tell me who yayed. I don't even know where I yayed. How many yays do I have?
5 to 2.
5 and 2. Okay.
Alrighty.
One more thing. I'm working on a logo, and I didn't print it, but I'm trying to come up with something. Starting with a bucking horse and rider inside a circle that says Deer Springs Ranch. Since this is a horseless ranch, I thought probably more appropriate to have either a rack and skull of a mule deer and Deer Springs Ranch in it. And that one's not fixed yet. That one's not finished yet. Some of these are kind of a work in progress. Or the other one would be a living deer head. With... like it's alive in the rack for those non-hunters, I guess. A variation on that. Or the rack inside the round circle with Deer Springs Ranch on it or something. So I guess when it's finished, I'd hope to have...
I got a better idea. We could have a bear with Lee riding it.
Or Lee shooting it. What about a longhorn in there? You didn't want to go that way?
I don't have long.
And we all, I've also got, so...
It's hard to visualize unless you see it in writing.
I've got them on my phone. I can show them to you after, if you want to see them, or I'll email it. It's a work in progress, and the girl that was working on it didn't finish, so there's another guy working on it, and he didn't have them ready for me yesterday. So it's a work in progress, but I thought maybe...
Cool. It's got longhorns and Deer Springs Ranch. And then you have a picture of either the deer or the cowboy. I like the bucking horse.
Can we get horses
again?
Definitely. It should be ready this week.
Good.
What's that, Linda?
Good.
Can we get horses again?
I wish we could.
We have $3 million
life on the peacock. Because they want to be in on this, I'm sure.
We could eliminate the peacock.
And Dave, once you get the logo done, I've got wholesalers I can make those hats and t-shirts.
Okay. Good.
I get quotes for us.
He was thinking like we should date some, not a bunch of t-shirts, but get some dated, for people that come, 2014, 2015, whatever.
Okay.
But you know,
we close out last year's.
The issue with that is dating them if you have 12 left over at the end of the year that nobody wants an old t-shirt anymore.
All right. Okay, that's all.
Okay.
Sorry.
Joe? You're up.
I'm up. Oh, boy. The Phil Hall issue, I don't know. I've called him. He hasn't returned my calls. The last statement we made, we were going to give him $2,000 for the greater repair. Was that done? I don't know.
Well, it should be. No.
Did we did vote on that?
Yes.
Okay, so
we
need
also
to
talk about some dues. I don't know if that was agreed upon.
Well, I think we can do that right now.
Yeah.
So the $2,000 for the tractor repair, and then he wanted a trade out. He wanted the dues this year waived.
Yeah. And then future use on dues to get you up later, but that wasn't brought to an attention yet. It was voted on. I've called him a couple times, but got no calls back. So
can
I'd say leave the way it was last time. The $2,000 plus this year's dues.
Let it go with that.
If you pay this year's dues, give it to him for next year. Then
he didn't pay yet. Is this what we're going to do?
We decided that we're going to pay him the $2,000.
Okay.
What's up for vote right now is this year's dues.
So what does this year's the tractor repair was how much? Do you remember?
$2,000.
So why are we?
19. Yeah.
Stuff. Some belts.
I'm thinking, why are we going into the dues part?
Because we
2,000 for sure.
Well,
because we're late. That's why?
Well, I was...
No.
One time, he said he would have this year's dues for free, but he only got one lot, not both. So, if we offered it, we should give them both, but...
Well, the issue...
I don't know who offered what, because I wasn't here.
Yeah, when did that take place?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because here's what happened is...
We got to decide by vote whether we're going to give them the 2 years, this year's dues or not. And I think after that...
That's what I'm saying. We need to pay him for the tractor. That's $2,000. But when we start talking about what we need to reimburse him for the rest of the project, the two assessments that he once waived is not going to cover that bill.
It's not. It also was not in writing.
So somebody told me that was already offered, so that's why I suggested it.
It was offered.
I wasn't on the board then.
I'm thinking that we hold that until we know.
Yeah, Linda gives him a check for the
$2,000.
Next month we'll bring this up again on the agenda.
Okay.
And we'll talk about it and see what we come up with. You'll probably get with him before then.
Yeah.
He'll probably be here this week anyway.
He might. Like I said, I've called him a couple times. But
someone's up there right now on his lot. I don't know if
it's there.
Yeah, that doesn't require a vote, so.
So we just pay that.
Yeah. Well, that should have been done, and it's not Linda's fault because I don't know.
I think it happened. Must have happened at that meeting. I wasn't at
No, that's not a biggie.
So now, just to make note, that's $2,000 that wasn't in our budget. So there's another $2,000. Okay. Okay.
We're gonna have to figure that one out.
Yep. We have to figure out.
Hey, it's all Paul's fault, Nancy. He's gonna have to save us another $5,000 somewhere.
Where do I put it?
You tell him that. That's his job.
That comes out of the road budget.
I just said there was $4,000 in the road budget still.
That's coming out of there. It's coming out of the road budget.
Okay.
That would be cool.
Gates on the ranch roads. Do we have problems with any of our gates? I've been out of.
No, I don't know what that's about.
I don't know where that came from.
Art wanted it.
And I think this is a... yes, every member should have access to every...
Key should be the same, and every member should have a key for the...
You've got to put a combination lock on it.
Is that locked gates or just closed gates? For instance,
lock gates.
I went through a gate this morning, got out, opened it, and got back in. The gate is somewhat of an irritation.
Yeah, I agree.
That's why we're trying to get cow guards.
If they're locked, we should all have a key. They should all be coded the same.
Well, let me clarify what Dale was just talking about.
And if they're
Mike Duval, and to me, it's an asset to.
We're all happy with it.
We're tickled to death. We don't have a lock on our gate over there. But
on your road,
I
know when I go through yours, I always open it and I reclose it.
Well, the only bad thing, and I agree, it's a pain. I'd much rather have a cattle guard there. But that being said,
I like the gate.
You like the gate? Well,
I like the gate.
I don't like getting out of the car. I'm lazy.
Linda, you insisted on removing Arch Gate.
That's because it was across the road and people were turning around on my lot.
Well, this gate is across the road. What's the difference between
well, you know, let's
that's a different discussion, but this gate here, I like it because we're on the main, and I'm speaking as a member who owns a lot on that road. People who, we have the main Scudamore Road right out in front of our gate there. And I'm glad it's there because people that are just tooling around don't need, there's no reason.
Well, I'll tell you, that's exactly why I put my gate in, the first one.
Right.
It's 7 o'clock in the morning, right by my, I mean, I'm talking this far away from my bedroom window.
Yep.
And they come right up around the circle, and the road is right on where the trailer is.
Right.
And they're right by my window.
Right.
How many gates are there, really, we have to be concerned with?
That one.
Yeah, that one, there's one up on... the top of the mountain by my old house, lot 215. There's Larry. You tell him. You drive it every day. Sit there going to sleep on us.
I think there aren't very many locks or gates that affect. I think each gate has a different reference. If there are locks beyond it, or if there's a destination beyond it, is there Forest Service ground that it accesses? The gate that originally went up to Art's old lot, Dale White put in.
Locked it all the time.
You know, 40 years ago, and it blocks travel to literally 10 lots. But at that time, there were probably Dale White and two other owners, and we owned all the other lots in the area and didn't really care. Right now, there's, I think, four different lots on that.
What about Dan Wirt's gate? Is that still locked?
And which one?
Dan Wirt's.
I think his is locked.
Because he's got 10 lots up in there. If there's a fire up in there and we don't have a key to get in there, we can't even put the fire out.
They'll cut the lock.
I think keys don't work for me personally. I'd much rather have a combination lock. Where, you know what, give it to the, if nothing else, even if we don't have it, as long as it's in the, where it can be accessed. You know, there has been a problem. I've gone up to my own lot up there, and the lock was changed one time. Couldn't get into my own house. Didn't know who did it. Still don't know who did it. Had to cut it. Larry, did you do that?
Back on that lock.
There's a key lock on number one.
Anyway, the other lot, the other the gate. Yeah, you were trying to keep the bear out. No, you're trying to keep Lee out. Riding that bear.
But has anybody gone through Dan Wirt's gate lately? Is it locked?
Does that just access his lots, or does it access
ours? He's got 10 lots. If there's a fire up in there,
we have to be able to get in
there.
Well, the fire department will cut that lock if that's a need. If that's a needed situation.
Well, what if Paul needed to get up there?
What if somebody wants to, you know?
Well, they have it for the last.
Okay, perfect example. Myself and two other people went out and put a fire out. What if that fire had been up by Dan Wirt?
That's what I'm saying.
We'd have to run it down.
You'd have to wait. You couldn't wait 2 hours for BLM. We could have had the fire out before they got there.
I agree. We need to have either a combination lock, or we need to all have keys for it.
Yeah.
Well, no. So. That gate that's locked up there at Dan Wirt only accesses the two lots that he has right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all?
That's all. He's got 40 acres up there.
Well, even with that, we should be able to get in there.
We're off his lot. We still got to get in there.
But I think the other, going around the other way, is washed out, has been washed out for years.
You can't go that
way because it's washed out. So you either have a locked gate here or a washed out place here.
It could be a pretty good fire.
I don't think, do we need to make a motion on this, or we just give it to the ranch manager and say, look, we need keys. Next time you see Dan Wirt,
do you need keys or do you need
drop an email?
Do you need the washout repaired?
Yeah. Is that a additional road?
It is, but it only accesses Dan's lots, and he has requested that it not be repaired.
Right.
Well, that's fine.
Then don't spend money on it.
Then we need to be able to get in the other side. Okay.
Just for a fire protection.
Nancy, put that down for Paul.
I've got a question, though. Does that go for everyone? I mean, to get into Phil Hall's place, you I mean, it's got a lock.
That's true.
Yep, goes for everyone.
But Paul knows
his
where the key
lock,
is.
I think
I do, too.
Gate is on his private property line.
So what's the difference if we need access to Dan Wirt for a fire, why not Phil Hall?
The ranch should have access to every gate
Should we?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
The private property.
If there's a fire, you want your house to burn down if I can stop it?
You know what? Let me tell you why. And I'm not sure if Dale will agree with this, but if you look at the original maps when he had them surveyed, there is a 30-foot right away. Is it 30 or?
On both sides.
We as a ranch need to be able to access the whole ranch. The membership, or Paul, or the fire department, or anybody else. There is a right-of-way there. Even if it's just one lot at the end of the road. It's still a right-of-way.
If there is a road or a reason to go somewhere, in my opinion, when it comes to fire, I'm either going to say, hey, I'm concerned about that, and I want you to make sure and have a key, or, hey, it's my private property, just take a hike.
That's right, let it burn.
Stay off, stay out.
You can't let
mom know. That's right. Go
yeah, no, it's
lot.
Actually, yeah, that, sure. That can't work, because what about my house that's next door in a lot?
But I just think that it should be fees available at one spot.
One location.
Not for me who wants to go right into your area, no. But the ranch should
that's,
have.
Well, that, well, I agree with
you
that. That's the problem I see with everybody
having
a job.
Not everybody.
You're
the
ranch manager. We have
fees
everywhere.
Yep.
Everybody from Roman and everywhere, there are people that have said, hey,
yeah.
I don't
want everybody out there.
I don't want
people above my life.
Yeah. Be the key for every gate. Because of and if they're not here, we should not, somebody, another board member
find
should
the
know
key.
Key
sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. And it's true, but I don't care.
So I have a key, a fire protection.
So let me just put it in as one
and
of
the and it
locks.
Needs to be maybe a lock.
That way it's not
going to
cause any hard feelings.
I think we need to discuss this more.
My opinion is the fire protection key is about 3 feet long, either yellow or red. And if there's something on fire, you're going to cut the chain or cut the lock.
Well, why would we, if it would be like the fire department, if it's something bad, life, they'll run right through it. Oh, yeah. They won't even stop.
Right.
That's true.
Why not have a key?
It's
a
benefit to give us a key so they don't have to rebuild their gate.
Yeah.
The house burned down.
I don't know. I'm kind of thinking the same thing Dave was there, that on ranch roads I can maybe understand it, but when you're talking about keys for private lots like full halls or whatever, like, I think you have a legal issue.
But you have, no, you have the right-of-way.
You should have a right-of-way for a fire.
We have the right-of-way when they're
on his driveway. Do you have a right-of-way on his driveway? Is his gate on his drive? I'm just saying.
His house is burning.
It's on a property line, and every property line's got a 30-foot right-of-way.
Property line, but what if that gate's on his property farther back in, or I don't know.
Well, he's got to cross it, and that's where, you know, that's his.
I don't know. We might be encroaching on.
What do you think?
I don't know.
Kind of a gray area. For example, if Jody doesn't have, you don't have a gate across the driveway, but if you did, are you comfortable giving a key to anybody?
No, if I have it locked, I guess I want people to stay out.
Grant, what do you think?
And if somebody's coming in to use
well,
that...
Well, you're a perfect example of gate, you know?
Well, I've got a gate. My gate, I close it when I leave, but I just close it so people know that I'm not there. And you know, to keep the paparazzi there, really.
We don't want to get
with it. I don't want it. And, but, you know, Dan Word,
he
requested that... Now, you know, I'm a private person. I don't like people telling me that I've got to make access to whatever. You know, if we can make a legitimate argument with them and say, look, what we need to do is either you give us a key. Now, I have a key to his gate.
Yes.
Just so you know. But
well, there's one up there, too.
But
Dan,
if...
Dan Wirtz.
If...
Oh, Dan Wirtz.
I think you ought to give somebody the option of saying, okay, well, I prefer that the ranch does. I'll ensure that fire doesn't move from my property onto the adjacent property, because I'll go in and cut a fire break all along my easement. And I will guarantee that...
We need to move on.
Something that starts here won't go gravel out feet. There.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a real hard time with people telling me that I can't lock up my property.
I think we need to use this for the annual meeting and let's.
Why don't we do this? We'll go. We'll make a point of contacting the people and get a key. And if we have any problem with it, then we'll bring it up at another meeting.
Individually to each one. We'll
And that includes lot one.
Yeah, because there's not that many people who have.
Lot one sometimes is a key there, sometimes is not. And that does belong to all the members. So.
Okay. Do that. We'll see what we can come up with individual.
And it may just work itself right out.
We can have Paul get with each person, see if we can have a key for fire. Not for the house, but for the property for fire.
Paul should do it. It should be a board member that does it.
Well, if Paul knows all the people, he makes the runs.
No. It should be a board member that does it.
Yeah.
Well, Paul can ask and start the program. If he says no to Paul, we can bring it to a board member.
Okay. Yeah, because I think it's going to be a very... peaceful.
Paul and I happen to be the common.
Yeah. And I think it will be a very peaceful, you know.
Hey. Art can ask. It doesn't matter.
If there's any problems, say okay.
Also with Gates and Rhodes, you got the Grizzly. Whose Grizzly is that up there?
Ted.
For the rocks, the rock quarry. There's a Grizzly there.
Belongs to Johnson and Fredonia.
So they just loaned it to us? Are we using it? Or are we buying it? Or
that's the Grizzly that was talked about. That
we decided not to buy.
Have the ranch buy, and Alan Steed hauled it up here, kind of as a test run to use it. Johnson agreed to let him bring it up here and kind of test it out. He brought it up, used it to provide some of the rock that was put in going down below your place and over on Phil Hall's place. And was going to either haul it back to town or not.
No, I don't have a problem with it there. I just don't know if we bought it or if we're
we know, we decided not
if
to.
If somebody steals it, are we going to have to pay for it anyhow?
No.
Well, I just want to know.
That's a BLM's problem. We don't own the gravel.
A good deal becomes no longer a good deal, number one, if it doesn't perform like you thought it was going to perform, and if the price got higher than what you thought it was going to be, and so it's...
Because there was another Grizzly that I guess Brett Robinson had for $1,000.
It's the same one. The price just changed.
Oh.
But we didn't
came in
buy
a different door.
No, we went over it. We decided against it.
But there was no finalization.
Well, I just don't want to pay for it if somebody steals it.
I don't know how anybody could steal that.
Yeah, me either.
Larry?
I'll try later, okay?
Yeah, you might be able to do it. I've seen you move houses.
You come back with a bad back.
Okay.
The issue with it is it would be kind of an asset for the ranch, but without other equipment and other time and other expertise,
no value.
It's of no value. And with just, I have not used it at all. Alan Steed used it. Linda? Reported that the material
what
that
do you
it
think
produces
would be fair on
is
fixing that
too
road.
Big for our road, so we'd have to add a screen to it.
Yeah.
It could be used.
Because we're
going
to have to do something with the board with
into?
Martinez.
I don't think so.
Because I put a couple thousand bucks in the gravel that's gone. What do you think would be fair?
Can you even talk to Martinez? I don't know how he would feel about that.
Oh, he's going to. It's not going to be his issue.
Oh, okay.
It's not going to be his issue. Well, the thing is, Jessup should have.
Okay.
Use his head.
Okay, you got
that. You know what? He just comes in and out, so I think about it.
Mark,
yeah.
Of course, I drove on that a couple times just recently to go to mine too, and now that rolled 10 times better than mine.
It's dried mud, though.
I don't see a problem.
It's dried mud.
Dried mud.
Yeah, the gravel's all... Larry?
Well, if it rains, I ain't riding on it there.
You ain't going anywhere. Larry will tell you what... Basically, I'm sorry.
That road has had Art and others, I don't know who else you paid to have hauled in there, but I hauled cinders and gravel. Brett Robinson hauled gravel. Alan hauled gravel. So there's been pretty good bait put in there over years. And this last winter, with the construction workers that went in and out repairing and doing upgrades on
Martinez's
place,
It wasn't just John Martin's place either. They were working on the fences on that side of the ranch too. And they came in there to work on those fences. Also, I was up here when they were doing that. So
yeah, but that wasn't. It's a specific like 2 weeks caused this.
They were outside of Martin's, but they were working on those fences doing that.
Have we determined who's going to pay to fix it? Was it that contractor that destroyed it?
Yeah.
Well, that would be the one there. John Martinez is the one that's probably legally responsible, but that would be so him. Martinez working it out with Jessup.
I thought we already went over this.
We did go over, but we've never acted on. We need to before next fall, or actually in the middle of July.
John Martinez to do something.
I think that's what we decided.
That was already in the minutes. I wrote one up already.
So I guess we need to contact. Who's going to contact him?
That was
John.
Anybody have his phone number? He lives in Vegas. I'll call him.
So we just need to find out.
We'll get your number.
He's going to have it. However he fixes it, we don't care as long as he fixes it.
Yeah,
Give that a deadline.
Shauna, you got to remember, though, it's not just Martine that those people were working on. I was there, and they were working on the fences as well. And
you're saying that Jessup did some of the fence work as well?
He did, yeah. Well, not
Duval.
The fence on that side of the ranch.
At Duval's.
He was going out into Juniper.
Mike Duval's?
He didn't do Mike Duval's fence.
You mean the swap between Juniper Hills and us?
Yeah.
I've been in there every other day almost in there. I never saw anybody in there.
I was there because I was worried that they were taking wood. They were bringing in poles. I was worried that they were taking poles off of John.
Well, that was Taylor Button.
No, this is after Taylor Button.
Do you know who it was then?
Yes, I talked to them. That's what I'm trying to say. They just were. It was
Jessup. Well, so anyway, it's the same. Martinez can work that out with him. But 90% of it was going in and out of Martinez's, and Paul vouched for that.
Martinez gravel that? The individual there or did the ranch?
We paid for it. Betty Nuttall graveled, I guess, the biggest part of it. And then I put in some.
Solution. So apparently from what Linda's saying, she was there when they were doing this road work. John Martine's responsible for some, and so would be Dale with Juniper Hills. He's the owner that hired Jessup. So it has to, like, maybe
50-50.
Hold on.
Were you hiring Jessup?
Weren't you hiring Jessup? Okay, well, whoever hired Jessup to put the fence in, that's who would be responsible for the member.
Take it easy, Dale.
Take a deep breath. Slow down.
So let's start by talking to Martinez. See what he's willing to do.
I don't know where he lives, but I know close by because I dropped him off one time, but he's probably about 5 miles from me. But
I would say talk to
Martinez.
Talk to him and see what he says.
Okay, that's a better okay. So you're going
to
talk. So
I'll
at this
talk
point,
to
Joe's going to talk to Martinez.
We got
to
get him a phone number.
This is the fence line. This is Martine's place.
Is Larry going to give the report on gravel?
I live here. This is our place. They were building a fence going this way and this way.
How long is yours going to take?
And this way.
So they were coming up.
Mine's really short. You already did the zip.
Mine, I'm not going to have one.
I'm not saying it's Dale at all. I'm just saying it's not all Martine.
I should not have anything
not
to do
it's
except
fight. I didn't say it was Dale. I'm just saying.
Oh, I just made the assumption because it was for that fence.
We used to settle disputes and the problem with my arm wrestling.
I'd say bring it to Army.
Okay.
Okay.
Whoever hired those people would be responsible. Sorry, Dale. I thought it was. No, it was not. I thought it was different people.
Who actually cut the trees on the
But the members responsible for their subcontractors. By our rules.
Did you pay them?
How you doing this? What's going on?
Oh, just wondering who did it. They did a great job. Instead of being a negative thing, I was going to make that into something positive.
Yes.
If it comes up. This is going to strengthen my position about workshops right here.
Yeah. Okay, workshop is over, Linda. We've got to move on.
Workshop.
Okay.
So we need a workshop to figure that one out, or at least a discussion.
Okay.
All of their work for travel in and out of this property was in and out of the driveway that's over here, not on the
road. Hey, we need a workshop. We got to get back to the business. You got to do a workshop,
that's
and now Larry's going to move on.
You know what I think,
okay,
Joe?
Talk with
Martinez, and he might say, okay, we're going to put in 4 loads of gravel and grade it.
Okay.
You know, it might be done.
Right. So
let's not make anything
bigger
of it till we see. But if four loads of gravel between his place and down to the gate isn't going to be but about that much. But I
4 loads, you think will do it?
Yeah, it's not going to be. No, it won't do it. But
you know how much a load?
What's a load of gravel now? Like in Brent's truck?
Brent Robinson's.
Was it $200?
$200 or
yeah.
I
think he would do $200.
I'm going to tell him 250 and we'll get Juby down.
Well, no, no. We'll just get an extra load. We'll get the fifth load.
I'm not saying it's anybody's. I'm just saying it's not all Martine's.
And if he can't pay,
it's not all what?
No, it wasn't all Martine's fault. That the
No. We're not saying it is. He will make sure. Joe will make sure.
I'm going to tell him four loads at 250, and if he can't pay it, Dale will pay 450.
Unbelievable.
Believe it.
Well, okay.
Draw a picture.
Gravel fees.
I got gravel fees. I didn't know anything about the gravel pit, but from what I understand, it's pretty much open to everybody. But I think there ought to be at least a policy that says if anybody's going to take gravel, and they have the right to, they should at least come down and say, Nancy, I'm going to take gravel. Don't shoot me on the way out. And now, if there's going to be a fee, the board, I think, should come up with a price if we're going to charge.
There already is one.
Can I make one?
I don't have a problem with that. As long as someone says, hey, we need gravel, we're going to be in there, we're going to take some. We're not stealing.
They need to pay.
Yeah.
Well, but here, let me just say one thing about what took place 3 weeks ago. Dale's been here, 40 years? For years, we have been actually spending ranch money to make that pit. So it'd be a pile of rocks out there that we couldn't get rid of. And Larry's been actually doing us a favor by getting rid of them. Some of them he even dumps. You know, he's dumped in places that, on ranch roads, it needs to stop erosion. That stuff is literally, if we could get rid of that right now for 50 cents a yard, we'd get a steal.
Big rocks.
Yeah, the big rocks. We'd be getting a steal.
And I don't have a problem with that. I just don't think rocks should go from our ranch off the ranch without these people knowing it.
Well,
so we don't have to follow somebody, waste our time seeing if somebody's stealing something.
Even further, I think we need to keep our policy in place for what we have. The 50 cents per yard goes to BLM. They go to BLM, they get the permit. Now I'm talking about members, and then the members pay back 50 cents a yard, too. I think if it goes off the ranch, and I talked to BLM, and Larry will confirm, because he already talked to them, we can charge, now we charge the ranch members, what do they call the fee, a reclamation fee.
Let me kind of explain to everybody so that the current board and the current members that are here at least up to speed on what the policy has been in the past and still is today. There are a few wordings that need, different words should be used, because if we don't use those right words, then the BLM is going to say, hey, you owe us about 50 grand. Pay us.
Right.
Utah's a split estate. We, as Deer Springs owners, on most of the lots, we own the surface. And the BLM or the federal government owns anything you dig out. Our gravel pit, we don't own a piece of rock. We can't charge anybody for a piece of rock. If we do charge a piece of rock, the BLM is going to come back to us and say all of our non-fee uses we're revoking. They've granted us non-fee permits for bulk use, 7,000 yards, 10,000 yards that we put on ranch roads. If we charge somebody for a rock we don't own, they will not give us those free use permits. So everything that comes out of the permit, out of the pit, whether it goes on ranch roads, whether it goes on private lots, or whether it goes on a barge and shipped to China, anything coming out of that pit is supposed to be on a permit. We've handled that in the past through individual permits and bulk permits that Brent's handled some, I've handled some, Ben's handled some. And if they're association use permits, we don't pay. If they're private use, if Rod Johnson wants something, he pays a fee to the BLM. Deer Springs cannot charge dime number one for the rock. What Deer Springs can charge, two things. Number one, a reclamation fee, because it's our surface and we want to shape our surface however we want. So as we dig it out, we clean it up, we reshape it and regrow grass or pine trees or whatever. Reclamation fee right now is set for 50 cents. BLM's royalty fee is 50 cents. Deer Springs reclamation fee is 50 cents. And we can charge an additional trespass fee for anybody that's not a member of the ranch, or if rock is going to leave the ranch, there's a trespass fee. We have set that in the past at 50 cents for the BLM, 50 cents for the ranch, and $2, or a dollar, so a total of $2 is what somebody's going to be paying. That's still a bargain of a deal.
Oh, yeah.
If I've got to buy rock from somewhere else and bring it in at $12 or $15 a yard, that's still a bargain. The problem is,
And this is a perfect situation in the, this past, well, 3 weeks ago when this happened, not having anybody in the know and having questions, instead of when a question was raised, to go to a person. Right now, the representatives on file at the BLM and on the ranch website is Brent Fulmer and Larry Clarkson. So when there's a question, to not go to one of those two, if you don't like Brent and you come to me, or you don't like me and you go to Brent, that's the first phone call, and everything would have been solved, and all the information could have been had.
Can we get a third choice?
Well, the policy that's on file, and I brought a copy, is actually the 2007 policy that's on our website. Mm-hmm. It's been updated in 2009 and then again in 2011, and I know at one time Ben was added because he was the one that was handling things, and there's minutes that say the ranch manager, which was Paul at the time and is Paul again, and that's completely a-okay to have him involved. I probably could have resolved any concern or question by communicating with Paul, but I hadn't in the past 20 years, and I didn't think about it to even resolve it. But when there was a question or a concern, I would have expected Paul to come to me and say, hey, what's going on here? I think because it was me, I mean, we have a good working relationship. I see him every week, one place or another, at ball games or track or church or somewhere. But I think because of the tension we've created, he was a little uneasy. And so he talked to Art, and then he called Linda. I would have expected Art or Linda to say, well, Larry's the pit representative, or Brent, let's call one of them. Since it's Larry, let's call Brent and see what's going on. So when Linda didn't call me or didn't email me or no question was there, it then goes to Jody. Jody and I are not very familiar. I mean, she knows me, I know her, but we have not worked together until this last week very much. I still would have expected a phone call or an email saying, what the heck are you doing? So then it goes to Joe, and I would have expected an email or a phone call to say, what the heck's going on? So there's the lack of communication, maybe started on my part, to not come down and say, hey, Paul, by the way, I'm hauling rock. I've got a permit from the BLM for 100 yards. I'm taking some to John and Sunshine Harris. I'm taking some to lot 115's driveway access. And I'm taking some over to Juniper Hills for a septic system for John Bogue. That is, in fact, off the property, but I've paid BLM for it, and they don't care where I take it. The reason I didn't even come to anybody or even contact Linda to say, hey, I mean, I've got a bill outstanding right now for what ranch owes me. I could have simply traded and said, I'm going to be taking 100 yards. Let's credit that $50. Honestly, I didn't intend to pay the ranch for it because nothing I've taken came out of the pit. And so all of our policy, and even with the BLM and everything, what's taken out of the pit is owed to somebody. Everything I've taken is reclamation work. What I've taken is slag and crap left over by Brent Robinson 8 years ago. So, in one line of thinking, it's we're claiming reclamation fees from people, Alan Steed, Brent Robinson, whoever, and turning around and paying somebody to clean it up and reclaim it. So I'm thinking, okay, if I paid the full fee, 50 cents a yard for 100 yards, I would owe the ranch $50. And if I bill the ranch my $75 an hour for my cleanup time, the ranch owes me $350 for the cleanup I did. I'm not charging you. I'm not paying you. I'm doing what I've done every year.
Like I said, I don't have a problem with any of this.
It's just communication.
Hey, I'm taking some things. Everything's clear. Right. Nobody's following, wasting time. That's all.
In the future, just so we know where we stand, on our policy, we do need to change and clarify the wording because it, as it states, and I'll read down through this just so everybody hears it and knows, all gravel from the pit for use on individual private ground must be permitted by the BLM for 50 cents a yard. That still stands. Sometimes we're confused by the big bulks that we do, and the BLM gives us it for free as long as it's going on association roads. Now, I know that sometimes that's gone on association roads and then up into driveways. I know that the big pile that was crushed by Alan Steed's crew got sold to individual owners, And I don't know, I haven't policed it, I don't think Brent's policed it, and we don't want to know, well, did Alan Steed actually pay the BLM for the part that he sold to John Harris to stockpile? It's not that concerning, and the BLM, when I've talked to them, they don't care about it, because we paid, or we didn't pay for it, they gave us a 10,000 yard permit. Well, we did not take anywhere near 10,000 yards. It was somewhere around 7. And so they know there's an extra 1,000 yards that's on that permit, and the ranch benefits from it, and members benefit from it a little bit, and so it's not a big, nobody's getting out of whack over that. The next item on here, we should change number 2. All gravel from the permit used on individual lots must be permitted through DSROA also, and it further carries a 50 cent per cubic yard price. We should distinguish that as a reclamation fee, so it's not interpreted as Deer Springs is charging for rock, because that's where James Holland said, you can't charge for rock, and if you do, I lose my ability to give the association rock for free. Okay? We've known it and left it on here. Number 3 says, no gravel is for sale off ranch property sites. Again, DSROA has no power to sell rock to begin with. We've left that language in there. We try to protect the ranch, even though most of what you all think of as the ranch is BLM or forest, or most members don't know what is Deer Springs Ranch and what is not. Right. They just think it is all Deer Springs Ranch. There was some other real important point I needed to bring up there.
You must be over 40. Forgot it already?
Well, can I bring up a point while you're thinking about that? All right, so I think we just need to change some of the verbiage that we have in our policy, update it. I don't know about those two that have been done since, and if we can find them, I don't know, who can. But maybe we can find those and find out how they've been changed. But I think we need to keep what it is. This is my thought. We need to keep what it is for the 50 cents, the BLM, the 50 cents per cubic yard. Unless it's used on our ranch roads, then it's, they just go get it. And I think the stipulation, the verbiage in here said members are allowed to use this. Well, I think we need to make a separate thing, a trespass fee for if, another neighborhood comes in and wants to take out whatever rock they want to take. They pay the BLM their permit fee, 50 cents per, and then they're taking it away from Deer Springs Ranch, whether it be a member here or not, and they pay a trespass fee of $1 or $2, whatever,
right,
and put that into our policy, too. That way we won't have the question anymore, and it'll be fair.
What that reminded me, Kane County has, I think, 11 different BLM pits that are on their books, and it's posted. I mean, if you go into the BLM and you ask them about gravel permits, they have a big notebook, and on the front cover, it lists them and their location. Deer Springs has always been on there, and they're actually going to take that off because this is the only situation where they have a BLM permit that's on private land. So just to avoid any confusion, they're saying, hey, we're not going to keep it on there, so nobody even knows unless they already know and come in and specifically request, we want to take rock out of this pit. At that point, they will go ahead and sign and issue them a royalties permit and tell them, you must contact Deer Springs Ranch through Brent or Larry or Paul, and it's up to them what they say. They may charge you $5, $10, $200. It depends on how hard economically we want to hammer somebody to prevent them from taking it out of the pit.
Which is not a large pit, that makes sense.
No. And I ask them, our pit has been contained or
limited.
There you go. I knew there was a word. Limited to a 5-acre disturbance, which in reality we're nowhere near that. It looks big because of all the area that really is not pit that we've used for storage and shoveling and stacking garbage, but I asked them, well, do you actually have a map or a legal description so we can delineate this better? And they said, well, we really don't, but we'll create that. anyway, again, back to... I think all of it is being better informed and being better at communicating, and I don't know if Brent has any other input or...
The only thing I can say is if anybody calls me about Larry, call and take him there and talk. I'm going to call the FBI. Because it's federal law. I'll let them sort
it out. Let them take care of it.
This was a huge, big deal that didn't need to be this way.
Right.
Folks.
No.
You know?
Exactly.
And so.
And ignorance is the reason why.
Well, this has been informative, right? Yeah, stuff that I didn't know.
We need to update our policy.
Well, the way it happened, it kind of made me mad at first because I was like, Paul, and I told Paul to talk to Nancy so she didn't know I was throwing him under the bus here. I was mad. I was like, what the heck, Paul? You sat there and talked to me on the side of the road while I'm loading the truck, and it wasn't a big deal, but then all of a sudden, the next thing I know, I'm going to jail or I'm getting arrested. The sheriff's going to come get me. I'm like, what? What's up? Well, he talked to me when I was hauling up to John and Sunshine Harris.
Yeah.
And later on, he was working at Cabin 9. He saw a pile of dust in the truck. He didn't really even know which truck it was or saw who it was. So he followed me up there and saw where I was going and what I was doing. So he just said, hey, I just called and I talked to Art and I called Linda. I didn't know what's good or what's bad. So initially I was mad at Paul, and then I thought, well, no.
Paul did the right thing.
He's doing his job. He's doing what he's supposed to do. I talked to him. There's no big deal. But then I was like, okay, Linda, you will. I mean, I remember when Brent had input. I had input. Some of these words are actually my words. I think you transcribed it or put it into Vance, and he put it on the website. So I thought, okay, well, why didn't Linda just call me? At first, Art was concerned, saying, you need to call somebody and straighten this out. And I thought, well, I'll get home tomorrow night, because I usually stay out here 2 days in a row. I'll get home and I'll have an email from Linda or from Joe or from Jody or from somebody. Will say, what the heck are you doing? Week goes by and I didn't say anything intentionally just to see what happened. But
I dropped it.
There was no communication other than, call the sheriff. So then I kind of jumped Joe about a little bit. He said, hey, I didn't know it was you. I just knew somebody was taking off. And so if that's not right, somebody should answer for it. So anyway, it was me.
now we know.
You're fired.
I was permitted to take it, and in fact, I didn't take it. I didn't take a single rock out of the pit, and I never have. I try to clean up everybody else's
reclamation.
I'm not eating their pancakes and their omelets. I'm just eating the eggshells and
Paul
the
came and told
cardboard
me,
box.
Told me that. Yeah.
So
we should have the policy rewritten, and what should we charge for taking outside the ranch trespass fee?
I think, and in
$2?
Oh, look, I found it in my dad's file when, I think it was back when they were working on the Allen Steed, the big glass crushing thing, and that's where I saw minutes from one of the board meetings that said, let's add the ranch manager to the list, and 50 cents a yard is still okay with the BLM, and still okay with the Association on Reclamation, and a $2 extra, or $1, so it's a total of $2.
Right, okay.
Two, it's cool.
So, you know, to me it doesn't really matter.
Dave's smart, he's standing us up.
For taking off the ranch.
Yeah, if it's okay. If it's 50 cents to the Association for Reclamation, an additional buck for
trespass.
A trespass fee for rock that's going to a non-Deer Springs location, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
But on the other hand, We're spending $2,000 worth of time here for a 50-cent item, and we shouldn't.
It's all important.
The rent should be fair.
Well,
it's all important as
communication.
I would like to say one thing. I personally think that you're doing a good job cleaning up a mess that for 10, 15 years that I've been here has been an eyesore.
Well,
you're not taking gravel. You're taking something that we would have had to pay to have removed.
Right now, just in the work that Brent and Alan did 3 or 4 weeks ago, they created 5 to 10 more truckloads of bigger, unusable stuff. And it's only usable to me because I'm not trying to manipulate it by hand. I'm doing it with machinery. But anybody else is going to say, I'm not going to mess with it. So we need to clean it up. The screen needs to be return or decide if it's going to stay and put in the correct location and not just left there. It's not a big issue right now, but in the wintertime, Brent comes zooming
issue.
Down
I don't
the hill.
Care if it stays there. I just want to know if we bought it. If
no, we did not buy it. We went over this 2 months ago, month and a half.
Anyway, if there aren't any other questions, I will get with
okay.
Brent and Linda and Vance, and we'll kind of try to renew or correct wordage. Any questions?
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Shauna, can you multitask?
Sort of.
You're up.
Okay. Agriculture. The activities, they did have, Paul and Nancy had a band and a cookout, and I didn't know it until the day before when you had the music guy come out here.
Oh.
A month ago.
You said a band and a cookout. I thought you said they abandoned the cookout.
Oh.
I
he said multitask. We can't spend 5 minutes on me talking
to
the
best.
You didn't have it?
Show up?
No, he came. We didn't do that. Brad Hunt had people out here. He had people come in and help them with cows, and that was for their benefit, and he told us to tell everybody about it. But he didn't tell us to tell everybody until it was almost happening.
Oh, okay, because that's what...
Yeah,
well,
it wasn't,
Paul made it sound like he invited him to come out here. Okay.
No,
I'm just making sure. Okay.
As soon as we knew about it, and he and Brad said, the more the merrier for the entertainment. I'm not feeding anybody dinner, but as many people as want to come, and we told everybody that came in that weekend, when they checked in, we said, we're going to have music tomorrow night,
yeah.
You know.
No, I thought it was a good idea, but I just didn't know.
No,
so I'm saying,
done.
Okay, so we had music. Are we doing any cookouts on Fridays? Any still?
Saturday night. Tonight we're having a potluck because no one's made reservations. So
well, I think we've already run a budget out on it, haven't we?
No.
Isn't that what it said?
I haven't done anything on it.
We haven't done any cookouts?
We haven't done anything on it. Nothing's been spent on it.
Okay, so still there's still some. Okay, all right. Maybe use that money on your annual
zip line.
Yeah. So we can pay for the zip line. Use that for your meat on the cookout.
I don't
know.
Doing it.
Okay, but we just have enough. Okay, all right. What is lot number one?
Just
put in lot one.
What's up?
To put in lot number one on here.
Right now, it's just.
I think it was under agricultural.
Usage. Campsites.
Activities. So you want to put somebody wants to put something out on lot one?
Yeah, it's been brought to my attention on lot one. There's several, in fact, quite a few members over in Johnny Brown that are wondering why we're. Dirty and I talked about it at great length. Wondering why we're actually keeping that lot. As a ranch asset, when we're not benefiting at all as a gate there, why don't we use part of it for something for ranch activities like the camping areas? You know, we'll take a corner of it, 5 acres of it, and use it for some sort of camp area or RV spot where they can go rather than have it all right here.
Well, that's not a bad idea, but what if you do it for like the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, anybody like that, or the...
Well, the ranch could make that decision. Make that decision.
That
I think the complaint is that, there's two sides of the coin, so we don't need to get into it. But Val would probably sit here and say, "Well, look, it's green grass because I've been working on it for 20 years."
Yeah, sure.
So we got to be a little tactful with this. The biggest thing right now, I guess, is the gate.
Okay.
And if I ever get a chance to hook up with Val, I'll have him.
Well, I'd see him once in a while. Maybe I'll ask him about that.
Yeah, ask him. There should be a key here at the ranch.
Yeah.
Let me explain a little bit about lot one. First of all, that gate is on lot two property.
Yeah, there's no gate on lot one. There's
no gate on
okay.
lot one.
All right.
Okay. That gate is his. But he keeps a key there and has been since I've owned property there on the tree at the base of that gate for anyone that wants to go in there and use it, okay? That's number one. Number two, he told me to tell all of you people today, because he couldn't make it, that he's informed his cows not to graze on lot one.
Well, see, again, we go right back to having good communication, you know? I think he needs to inform the people out there.
But it's good to have the cows on.
You know, it's like they come to me and say, well, it's on lot one. Why can't we go in there?
Well,
you know, I'm not a surveyor, so.
I'm not one to complain, but there are are some over there that have.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they want to put a gate in on lot one?
No, why?
We got enough gates.
Cal's maintain it. It's a good
thing.
Yeah,
the
Cal's. The gate on two, and he's providing the key.
Yeah, and he said he's going to tell the cows not to go on lot one, so we're good.
I'm on lot one. It's okay.
I want the cows to sign that.
Okay, well, that one,
okay,
that one there
that
took
care of that.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah,
I think there was something else. Earlier in the year, there were complaints from Val saying that his cattle were getting out or other cattle were coming in. And I understand that Mark Cram, his son, and some friends came and repaired that because we went out in May and went to go check on that, and we were told that it's all been repaired, it's all taken care of. So that's a checkoff list.
Well, see, that's exactly how this whole thing came up. We were sitting here, Paul saying, I got to go out there and spend a week fixing fences, and he's using the lot for nothing.
No. There's 600 acres there, and there's more fence than is around his lot.
Yeah, but he wasn't talking about
cattle coming in from Brinkerhoff's and
going into lot one.
Hamlets, not going into lot one, going into that whole homestead.
Yeah.
600 acres.
But anyway, that's how that came up. It was because of the repair work, and they did it, so it's, yeah, it's actually not a, the only, go ahead, Sean, and I got something that follows through on this.
No, go ahead, I'm done.
Okay.
You
know, Dale's up next.
Oh, wait a minute. That's Dale.
Okay.
Yep, we're moving on.
Oh, I had a question. At previous meetings, Shauna, there was a request that you fill out some paperwork on grazing and send it in, contacting Doug Hunt, showing that the ranch is specifically using the ranch the way it should, that it shouldn't take away some of our rights. Did that ever get done? Oh, there was many times spoken about it.
You're going to have to remind me what that is.
That was the fellow over in Cannonville that you were going to get with.
The grazing.
Yeah,
how important it is.
To let them know how important it is and possibly.
Okay, this is on the BLM thing.
Yep.
We sent the letters in and okay. All right. No, I just thought so to see if Doug wrote that letter.
But I think you were supposed to get something going too, and it was really important for Grant.
Well, I already did all that. I wrote the letters. I sent out the things. Whatever. But I did not follow through to see if Doug Hunt did. But my understanding was that he did speak to them. He had sent something by email. I have not spoken to him. Last thing I knew was when he was injured.
Well, I thought so I had to know as a board whether or not that was followed through.
Yeah. No, I already did that. That was probably and members of the main economy. So I did
that.
Okay, Dale.
You wanted me to remember a few months ago. I can't remember last week. Okay, sorry.
There's been a lot of talk, a lot of emails, a lot of correspondence back and forth this last month or so. following through on a proposal that was made 3 or 4 years ago to do a DSROA water improvement using the Meadow Canyon Spring. And that's been agreed to and disagreed to and everything else. But if I understand, everyone is in agreement that the spring should be developed. It is an asset of the ranch, and it can be made a better asset if it is improved according to the state requirements and guidelines for everybody to use up in that area for recreation or fishing or cabins or whatever there is in that area. And so with that information that it was desirable before and it's still desirable, and that's the way I had moved on it, with the other commitment that the ranch not having funding, that I would cover the front end capital, the front end expense, and maybe in the next 20 years people would hook on and would help pay for the infrastructure. There's no requirement, no requirement, no sign things that anybody's ever going to hook on. That puts the total risk on us as to the development of that area. So great effort has gone into the different agencies to get their concurrence, get their input the last month or so. And I forgot what I was going to say on that. There are certain requirements like measuring the flow of the spring is still unknown because it comes out in four different places. So our move was twofold. To get the engineers to tell us and the state to tell us what they required as far as an approved water system, so that it could be installed and that the water flow could be measured and that the quality of the water could be measured. So we started clearing it off and cleaning it up with that intent. The water sample was taken that's required by the state to identify whether there's arsenic in the water or what's the nitrates and nitrites and different minerals, irons and different things, is the test that they require. We took that, went in. A month later, the results came back, and I think most of you have been given that. Some have asked, why didn't we take the baccalaureal back... the back T test at the same time? Well, the spring is not protected. You can't, I mean, that's why you do all these other things to protect it. And that's a test that comes later after you have the protection in place. So some have been critical that we didn't take that kind of a test. Well, that's not, the state did not have that. It is required before the thing is all approved. So that test will not be taken until clean, protected water can be tested. So to move on getting the water in a pipe that could be measured and the pipe that could, the water that could be tested, we went in and started cleaning up the spring. Because there's about 80, there's a many lot owners that are going to be there in 2 weeks for a reunion, we thought it necessary to try and get some water there to accommodate their needs. And even last night they were talking about some water there for fire protection, whatever kind of things. There's none there. And so that was another reason for it had been delayed over the years. And so to get back to our original of developing the program for Deer Springs and its members, and paying for it, we moved in that direction. I felt that we had approval. Some felt there was different reasons why that approval could be or was rejected. The main thing is it a desirable project, and should we all be helping to get it done? Or shall we do everything we can to keep it from getting done? One other issue that has been raised is a conflict of interest. When we did the well out here, it certainly was to benefit me and all members. We could have said all of us had a conflict of interest when we drilled the new well and we put in the water system down here. The membership up there has a something to gain. I have something to gain. And was willing to risk and go this direction. I am hopeful that there will be a decision made to go ahead and finish the spring box and the collection system. And I don't see that that's a conflict of interest for me to vote on that. If you want me not to vote on the extension to my personal lots, that's fine. One of the big things that we have been waiting on for days was a letter and final approval from the Division of Environmental Quality in St. George and the Drinking Water Division in Salt Lake. We kept furnishing them information, correcting it, engineered back and forth. That final information was presented to them last week. Paul Wright is the key man in St. George. He told me on Thursday that he had all the information he needed and that he had written a letter of approval that he was sending to Salt Lake to his superiors. And I was excited to hear that, but he said you probably won't have anything back from Salt Lake until middle of next week. When I got home last night, the email was there from the state. So there is, I've passed it out to most of you, on the approval from the state and the DEQ on the drawings and so forth that we've sent to them, the information that we'd share with them. And so that approval is here. And whatever Larry and Brent and Art, whoever's been working on this here, committee-wise, there is a desired time frame to go ahead and finish up the items there and get the two or three other tests that needs to be made. And hopefully that can be done with your permission today.
Open to...
I make a motion.
No.
We've got to open into questions first. There's a lot of questions out there.
We have... Right. Larry still needs to talk, and I still need to talk, so... I don't know if, Larry, you want to go first and explain what's going on, or...
Go for it.
Okay, so, just to go back in history, decision was made twice to allow the project. Decision was backtracked twice to not allow it under the terms that was presented at the time. So, we all think the water system up there would be beneficial in the long run. So, to get this project started and going, because the whole idea is now right now the project is set up on phases, and we only have really phase one sort of even sketched out, sort of. So phase one would be to develop the water, get the spring box so we can collect the water. We've got to know first if the water is passable for potable, and that will happen after Larry puts in the big tube that keeps the contaminants out of that water source. And then we submit it and see if it passes. And then it takes about 3 years to make sure as an ongoing thing that it's still going to continue to pass. But the project phase one is simply right now to get that water spring box done and then water delivered to five of Dale's lots. So that's where the conflict of interest comes in. So at that point, Dale and Dave would not vote on that. But we don't even want to go to a vote on that today because we have so much more work to be done before this. And Larry and I had gotten together last week and and Danny and sat down and made some agreements, and Larry's very agreeable to the guidelines that we had set out before that came from Vance, that came from Brent, that came from me, on how we proceed with this, who pays for what, how we do this to ensure that the association remains total owner of this spring box and the water. And so Larry's thinking that's very doable. I'm thinking it's very doable. We have to work out the details on that before it ever comes up to vote and have a plan and have a contract in place. But one thing I have been hearing that is wrong that needs to be corrected is, Dale, we don't want you fronting the money for anything because the association needs to pay for this water source to develop it, and we plan to do that by you paying the connection fees that would be normally assessed to any member out here, and that way the association builds that. We pay to have it built. We don't owe you anything back. The new members that hook up in the future don't owe you anything back. You're just basically doing as any other member would do. You're going to pay us for a connection to that water source, and that way it keeps it fair to all the members that want to hook up later. They also pay the membership for their connection, and the association owns control over the well and the water. So that's the only difference I see between what you're talking about and what we're working on. So, Larry, you can fill in the blanks there if I've missed any.
Water is owned by the ranch. I think that sounds good to me.
Both.
Somebody is about.
Oh, Larry, what's up?
I think the only bridge between those two is I think we're on the right track, and I think we've worked out a lot of questions and concerns. I see it from his side because I think all of the answers are available, everything's available to get going. It's just a matter of making it happen. My biggest concern is if we're not to the point today to actually take a vote to move forward, is that going to necessarily throw it clear to the next board meeting, or can we talk about the committee being able to get everything to a point where it's signable and then go to the board?
Yes.
I know we've had issues saying that phone votes, email votes don't count or won't count unless everybody's in
unanimously.
If it's unanimous, it could be voted on.
Right.
My goal, and the reason I came to you and I've talked with Joe, is I think information can be shared. All the documents are available. Brent and I, Vance, can put it together so it's agreeable. But what does that do to a vote? Say this, if this were to happen in a week, we don't have a board meeting until next month to make a vote to move forward. Can we vote or present it back to the board by email, by phone, and have a vote if at such time seven board members, if Dale is, I don't know if the word is, recuses himself from the vote, or Dave, I mean, there's been a question because Dave's a relative. Does that negate the fact that it's a unanimous vote because one or two don't participate in the vote?
No,
because it's an action of themselves saying, I'm not participating.
It's still a quorum.
Wait.
Well, I just, the language before was that...
No, to be a binding vote.
Unless it was 100% unanimous.
Right,
not
right.
A quorum.
Oh, voting.
Not just a quorum.
He's right. Oh, you're saying, no. The rule that you said that was
I
on
think
there.
It's all doable.
Everybody had to be contacted.
I explained my own personal reasons.
Well, the whole thing boils down to is we have to figure out the final plans first. That has to be accomplished. And then we have to have a contract signed. That has to be accomplished. And then it comes to the board. And those are part of the details that we still have to work out. But we are on the right path to do that, and we've been working hard to do that. But so, there is no confusion over who's paying to do what. Once we get the connection fee, the association pays for the spring, pays for the well, we're the owners of the well.
Right, and just, I don't know, maybe everybody else is totally in the dark, but we've communicated this back and forth. The cost of a hookup fee still needs to be nailed down and negotiated.
Yes.
It makes sense and it's fair.
Yes.
The cost of this phase of construction that we're trying to put together needs to be discussed and be fair. My issue is the timing of Dale's willing to pay for construction, and he's willing to pay his hookup fee. If the ranch wants to pay for the construction, do we trade checks? Do we...
Something like that, Lou, but...
It's got to be orchestrated so that it's not, okay, we're making him pay for the system and pay for a hookup fee.
No.
Or pay, you know, if I were him, I would say, hey, I'll sign up today for this, I forgot what you called it down here on the lower system, but there's a user agreement contract. Maybe it blew away.
I got a copy.
Maybe it blew away.
But I think that's what's got to be developed up there, and the costs for this system and that system aren't anywhere equivalent.
Correct.
The hookup fee, I don't think, can be anywhere equivalent, but it's still got to be fair.
You're right. So I think to get through those numbers, Larry, I think we're going to need at least another week. I need to get home and get through, and I've been pondering every day, thinking about, you know, which way we'd work the money. But that needs to be gone with time, and we can't be on a rush schedule just to get this done by July, because we're not going to be on a rush schedule to do this. We're going to do this right. We're going to cross our T's and dot our I's along the way and get it done methodically
and
thoroughly.
I've already solved the water system situation for the reunion. I already have that taken care of. So
okay. Pressure's off.
Just to delay it.
We're just going to try to work as best we can within the wells we've got.
Yeah.
Barry?
You know, there's one big difference. If this we've got to prove whether the water's drinkable. If it's just going to be used for irrigation, that's a different situation than if we can use it for a cabin and drinking without problems of other situations.
The state was covering that one.
In other words, the boxes have got to be put in, the collecting boxes, and at least the original tests. If the original tests come out fine, I don't think you're going to have any problem down the road. But
we already know the original test came back not.
No, I mean you've got to put the collectors in so you're not getting the other stuff in there.
And that's part of the process.
There and the deer's been there for 100 years.
Yeah.
But if that proves out to be good potable water for drinking, you've got a super deal there. And then I don't disagree with anything else that you've said, but I think that's one thing that's got to, you've got to know, and especially. Am I going to be able to drink that water once I get it hooked up?
Right.
Yeah, but how will we know that if we don't...
Well, that's the thing. Brent brought that up. Brent brought that up at the first meeting that we had 10 days ago. He said if it's going to take up to 3 years.
Well, yeah, but there...
No, it probably will.
Even if it will.
But they can red tag it during that 3 years, and it's pretty simple.
But you got to get
you
to that.
You have some?
And we just keep waiting?
Yeah, my question, why is there a pipe in the ground? That's my question. Why is there a pipeline in the ground before all this was worked out? That's what I don't understand about this whole thing.
It's a good question.
We have three ponds there for fire protection. I just don't see what the big rush was, I guess. That's my big question.
I think what I have seen is some real positive efforts between all the factions that have been going on. They look good, but is it something that we can accept as a finalization? What I think Larry is saying at this point, can the board and the water committee work for the next 2 weeks, if that's a good time frame, because we don't want to rush what is going to be good in the end. Take 2 weeks, go through it, discuss the facts. The water system can present it to the board. Well, we don't like this one and like that one. You got 2 weeks. How can we change this to make it acceptable? Within that 2 week period of time, you can come to an agreement, even if it's like other things. If you work through it, everyone's going to be doing an agreement to it. Mm-hmm. That's the whole key. There shouldn't be something that the water committee and the board doesn't like because you've worked through it.
Right.
And within that 2 week period of time, come up with the written contract, signed, notarized, and then give Larry the idea within 2 weeks, he should be able to start that spring box, get going on it, and that gives the board the time to make something right for phase one.
Before you go any further, phase two, we are going to do, as Larry Meltzer had said, have it written up before you start the second session.
Right.
Phase two. That's just my opinion. He's looking for a time date so he can get things going. Don't rush the board. Give you 2 weeks. Water committee, meet. Go over what you've done, and it has looked wonderful so far. Can you live with what it's written there? And then in the voting process, whether it be by phone or email, those that are going to be voting, if it's 100%, that is your full vote. That can carry. You look at the conflict of interest. If there is anyone that financially gains from this particular project, doesn't vote. But then again, in the back of your mind, you say, if the water committee has gone through it, presented it to the board, there should not be a reason we don't have a signed contract that we can't go forward.
Mm-hmm. Jody.
To me, that's the way I see it.
Jody, we have a concern that, number one, you being in the Treasury, know that we don't have the money to do this.
We do once Dale pays the hookup fees. That's where that's going to come from.
Should. Really? How are you going to figure that out?
Should I?
Well, we've already been.
No, it's going to be a swap.
Yeah, it's going to be basically an even swap. That's what we worked out so far. We don't know that that's the final number yet, but we need time to work that out before we can bring it back to the board. I don't know if 2 weeks is long enough. Maybe it is. We have so much detail to go through, but if it is, it's doable. We're going to work on it. So. Yes, that whole process is right.
Through. If that doesn't work at 2 weeks, ask the water committee and the board, can we have another couple of days or
we'll just
week
keep
to make it right.
Yeah, we'll keep working on it until it's...
I wanted to make sure that there was agreement with the board all present. If there was a motion that needed to be made or agreement to say, hey, if these guys can work it out in 3 days, we're okay with a vote. If they work it out in 3 weeks, we're okay with a vote by phone. I didn't want to get to that point, whether it's 3 days or 3 weeks or 3 months from now, and have people still go, well, we've got to wait for the next meeting.
No, we don't have to wait, but we need to get our details down further before we bring it to a motion, before we do anything like that.
We have a good question of, Candy. The drawings and all the, the states' requirements that they've developed over the last 50 years, they have now approved that. Would you anticipate that our local committee would choose to change what the St. George and Salt Lake have already approved?
No, it's not about changing the regs and the rules. It's about changing and instigating or implementing
a contract.
The contract and the deal related to it and how money's going to be spent, how things are going to be laid out, not with what those plans are. Those plans are from, if they're state approved, they're state approved. That's not the issue here. It's about the process and getting it done correctly.
And I agree with that. Here's one of the things. Sometimes necessity drives action. Okay?
We're not in a hurry.
Well, maybe Dale is.
We can't be in a hurry.
A few months, so he's not going to want to do that, and then where does it go?
No, it doesn't really matter. We've had 3 years to get us to this point. If it hasn't been done by now, there is no hurry. We have to do what we need to do to make it right the first time around, and whatever time we need to spend to do that, then it should be spent on it. We're not going to worry about the reunion coming up on the 4th of July because it's just not going to happen that fast. But we are going to work on step by step by step by step until we get there. We can't be in a hurry on it. I'm sorry.
But you're pretty much, the committee has been working steadily.
Yes, every day.
If the committee does their job, it's not going to take.
Well, that's why I'm saying 90% of it is already done and available. Mm-hmm. It's just the biggest hang up I see right now is us taking the time to actually write out a contract and reread it, and read it, and reread it, and read it, and understand, okay, does that cover everybody involved?
Right.
If it does, then
that's going to be the hard part, Cody.
It'll be a challenge, but, we're working together real good on it so far.
I'm pleased. I want to thank all of you.
Could you come up with a figure, Larry, that looks good right now for a hookup charge, but have the ability to make an addendum to it in case the amount of money is taken to actually create the spring box or what he's doing? Can there be an adjustment to that figure, but everything else be held
cost overrun.
And signs. And it's that hookup charge is the biggest thing that could cause it not to go through. Could that be something that you say this is the amount, but it could be adjusted in the future?
I think so.
I mean, in that way, you could say, I've seen this stuff. It looks good.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're charging.
And that's something that the water committee and the board can say. And I don't know if you want to take it to a lawyer, but it has to be presented to the board, and then is it good or not?
Brent, are we on the right track?
Well, I'm listening to this.
Yeah, I'm watching you suck it in.
All right, so who's on the water committee?
Brent?
Really,
let's make that official.
Up and clarify, there is no water committee.
That's right. Well,
we're going to make it official.
Brother Danny this morning, if there is an official water committee, I won't be on it.
No, this is a special project water committee.
All right, let's just let it go there.
We have a regular water committee. This is a separate committee to work on this project.
I'm trying, I see things from both sides, and I completely understand both sides, and 90% of the time, both people are standing there looking at an elephant, and somebody's screaming, that is a trunk, no, that's a tail. Well, you're both right, and you're both wrong, it's an elephant. And you're seeing different parts of the same animal. And all I'm trying to do is make it work,
yeah.
But I don't want to get involved in committees.
You're okay with this special?
Blah, blah, blah.
No, it's just for this one project, hon. Relax, it's okay. It's all phase two, but we're on phase one, and that's all we're looking at.
Let
the
finish.
Question was, who is part of this?
So far,
committee?
In our little discussion, it began with me and Jody. We brought in my brother Danny and Brent and Vance Green.
It started
and
10
Joe
years
Jose.
Ago.
My goal
I wouldn't,
simply
wouldn't
was,
be here right now.
This thing's been voted for and approved by a board, and then disapproved by another board or a different board or the same board, and then reapproved by a different board, and then unapproved by a different board, and then reapproved. Right now, every board member I've talked to have said, I think it's a good idea, it's a good project, but this is how I see it coming about. And so to get a positive vote, right now, it was Jody, Joe, and Bob that are saying, I still need to see
contract.
Something done.
Contract.
Okay, and what they were saying they wanted to see, and the list that Brent put out from a member's perspective of this is what I would like to see to make it work, were all doable and practical things, and all things that I've seen my dad already in the process of doing or agreeing to, but just the way everybody works together causes frustration. And so that's when I said, hey, Jody, just this is where I'm coming from. This is where I've kind of been in the middle, and I see this side, and I see this side, and this is why I've done some of the things. This is why I put some of the pipe in the ground. This is why I stopped. This is why I started again. This is why I stopped again. This is why I started again. Wrong or right, this is where I'm at. And she said, answer back. Logical stuff. So we started with communication, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and that's how we ended up where we are now. And I think it's very doable. Unfortunately, time marches on, and if I'm at the computer, I'm extra slow, and it takes me 3 days to do what Brent can do in 5 minutes on the computer. So that means I'm not out doing something else that earns money to feed my family, so I have to do that at night, and I can't dance in Vegas and work at the ranch at the same time. And so, anyway.
Okay, Brent.
All right.
I got a mind like an elephant here.
Well, let's just review. 40 months ago, this whole thing started.
Yeah, listen up.
And so, I don't feel any urgency to get this thing accomplished by the time the family reunion happens. And when I say the family, I don't mean the mafia, I mean the Carson family. However, being a arbitrator like I am, my big concern has been right from the get-go, we get, and the two things I asked for in that February meeting was a plan and a contract. We've got a plan now. At least for phase one. What we need from you, Dale, now is a contract. Now, admittedly, we have details that need to be worked out. But there's got to be a way that we could have you sign an agreement, ironclad, your signature's on it, that we can move forward with this thing with the stipulation that there, these other fine points will be negotiated down the road. I personally don't understand why we haven't had a contract already. I know that this whole process would have been simplified and completed if we'd have done that in the beginning, because that's all I cared about. Developing the water system, I think, is a good idea. I think it should be put to beneficial use. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem if you're the only one who benefits from it. I could care less. That doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that my assets, meaning that meadow, that water, is protected. And I have a level of protection that I know I'm not going to get, I'm not going to lose anything over. And, you know, time after time I've heard you talk about the fact that half of my value of my property is in my association membership. I think it would be remiss of me not to want to protect my half of my investment by not saying, you know, by not doing this. So, Dale, here's my question. Do you want to get this project done by the time your family, or at least a stub out where they can get water, whatever, by the time your family reunion happens?
Yes. I'd certainly like that, yeah.
Okay. All right. Would you be willing to sign a legally binding document agreeing that says something to the effect that I will develop this to a certain standard, there'll be prices attached later on once I have a better idea, but I'd like to move forward with this thing? Can you do that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, if you guys need to meet the board, because I have no dog in this fight, okay, other than my protecting my resources, can you guys sit down and come up with something that makes, you're never going to make everybody happy, but can you satisfy both sides of this argument? We need to, that's where this thing has been running in circles for months, for years, and it's driving me crazy. Because you know how many hours I've spent on this thing in the last 2 weeks? Now, I'm not as many as you, but for somebody who doesn't have a stake in it, I've wasted days of my time. And I don't have that many days left. You know, I have fewer left because I've been dealing with this. You know?
Well, okay, comment to that. I think if Larry and I don't go through what we're looking for in that contract first, for Dale to spend the time to make a contract yet is premature, because we need to find out what needs to be in there first. We need to set it down and then take those ideas that we come to agreement with on, that he thinks agreeable and I think is agreeable, or that the water committee thinks is agreeable, then take those together and say, now either Dale can put down that contract and put it together, or someone else does it, and then Dale looks at it, we all look at it, we all review it. Okay, here's what we're seeing for the contract. What do you want to change? What do you want to change? And then try to come together, and then we have a workable contract. To just have him put out there now would just be wasting time, I think.
Well,
would
you have I spent my today? Professional life making life and death decisions in milliseconds.
Hold on.
You pull up on
right.
the scene, you make a decision.
Right, yeah, but this is not one of those.
And don't get me wrong. I think that when we're doing this contractual thing, we need to be careful and cover every base.
Yes.
But I don't see any reason why we can't get some kind of a signed
agreement
that's gonna
be binding.
I mean, I don't see any reason why we can't work on this thing over the next couple of days, and Larry can't go back to work on Monday.
Yeah, I
okay,
don't
because we're gonna have something signed with, you know, all I see right now is frustration because Dale's frustrated because he's at a certain point now. I'm not cutting you any slack here, Dale, because you caused this frustration. On the other hand, what about the rest of us? Okay? We need to work out a solution here, not an impasse. Okay?
Right.
So, can't we come up with something in the next couple of days that we already know what I think needs to be in there?
I'm no attorney. I already know what I think that needs to be in there. I know the protections that I want to see. I know, I don't know what the value of a hookup is or not a hook, you know, is. I don't know. I know Dale says you spent $17,000 on pipe so far. I don't know what you've spent on other infrastructure. I don't know what, I, you know, Larry's, what, a $2 an hour employee? You know, however many hours he puts in. My thing is...
What does that make Danny?
But Dale made a very important comment here just a few minutes ago. We spent $2,000 worth of discussion on a 50-cent item when we're talking about the gravel pit. You severely undervalued my value, okay? Because my time is the only thing I have of value. Right now, we've been fighting with this thing for 3.5 years, all right? We're never going to know if we have a good water sample until we get that spring box in, right?
Can I ask a question at this point? What if that water sample comes back, no, hell no?
Now, it will never come back that way. What's going to happen, is it'll come back with a certain thing. There's no water that we can't clean up. It depends upon how much money we want to spend to clean it. Okay? It's really comes back to that. Now, the initial water sample that didn't include a bacterial sample comes back pretty good overall. I mean, it looked relatively good, but we've got a water source that's been a cow pasture for the last 100-something years. And so we know we've got surface contamination. We can do everything we can to fix this, but until the box, until the spring box goes in, until the cap goes over it, until all of this other stuff, we don't know. So
we can't even get there.
You guys hash it out. I don't see a reason why you can't come up with something that satisfies both sides. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but I want to live in peace.
Amen.
That's all I care about.
Amen.
Amen.
Then what you've said, does that say, so we get these tests and so forth, is there resistance for Larry to put the spring box in place?
If I was making the decision, Dale,
that has to be done.
If I was making the decision, I'd say I wish the spring box would have gone in before the pipe.
Amen.
I agree.
Could we do something here?
Back to Larry's question. Why was the pipe late first?
Make a motion to go forward with the project.
I got 2 ears.
If the price of the connection has not been valued yet, but make it negotiable, the water committee comes up with something which would allow him to continue, like you said, and the board has given the permission, and that's the bottom line. We're not saying all this other stuff, but carry on and get it done. With the stipulation, like he said, whether it's a gentleman's agreement or what, but that within a couple of days, that written contract signed, notarized, is there. And that's the key. And I think that'd be the only way to move on, but the board make that motion. And then vote or not vote. Because it looks good right now with what has been done by the Water Committee. Unless there's, I don't see a whole lot of change, but give you then that time to follow through and make it the specific that you want. I agree with Brent.
Can we take whatever takes time now? Do you have any time, Brent? Larry?
I've got a little bit of time, but
just to get this thing rolling.
Is there not,
I have a suggestion. It may not fly, it may fly. All I see right now that's holding it up, even on every side, is to actually have a written contract and nail down all the specifics. Money, hookups, requirements,
ownership,
to spell all that out. Because the plans, all of that stuff,
is done.
The tests that are required have been done. The tests in the future can't be done. We were planning to actually do a test on Monday. If it accidentally is clean, that would satisfy, but it really won't satisfy because the state's still going to want to test. Because we're going to, even if it came out clean out of the ground today, we're going to mess that all up by doing the work we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was resisting saying, let's go take a back tea sample today, because I can guarantee you, if you take it an hour, a day, or a week after we stir it all up, it will fail, and it's going to take time to clear up. So that's a waste of, I don't know what it costs to do the Chemtech Ford test, but it's like $100 or something. I'm willing to waste that, but I think it's wasting it.
It is wasting it, Larry. I agree with you.
So, if the board could be in agreement and make the vote to say, we give approval based on this document being finalized and signed, one thing that forces Dale to make me get it done rather than make me spread gravel on a campsite for his relatives that want to come here. I think it's doable. I don't know that it's something we want to sit down today and try to do in an hour.
Maybe the fine points,
and then work from there.
Somewhere.
We have started somewhere. We've been spending over 5 hours.
We don't have anything in writing.
You know, taking another motion, taking another vote is the same thing we've done the last 2 times that hasn't worked, because then we find out something later that we need to add in there. I would like to have some more time. I said, when we started this, we cannot rush through this, but I'd like to have at least 2 or 3 days to go through more detail with Larry and Vance and Brent to get these things ironed out and then approach it back. But, you know, saying today, can we say, like, no, I'm not going to be going there today. There's just too much unknown yet until we have that sorted out.
I got a silly question. If the ranch is going to end up owning this, it has to ultimately, because it's a ranch water.
Mm-hmm.
The email address, or the mail address here, is 160 East Kanab Creek Drive. Shouldn't all the mail be going through the ranch?
Yes, it should.
And then distributed to the people who it's supposed to go to?
Yes, it should.
And that would make it less questionable?
Yes, it should. We should have not had any mail for DSR going to a personal address. And we tried to stop that years ago, but it keeps happening.
Yeah, last month, I think.
It's been happening for like 3 years, but...
You okay with that?
So I'm requesting three days so that we can get stuff ironed out before we bring it back, and we can do it via email.
It's a game breaker, but it just makes sense.
It shows
that the ranch is taking ownership of the project.
You know what, folks? The easiest way to do this thing is just vote your conscience. Do you agree?
I can't do that yet.
Whatever, you know, you got. That's what's going to happen anyway. But the only way you're going to move forward is you're not going to debate this thing out.
I just have to feel safe that we're protected as the association before I go in.
Absolutely.
That's my main concern.
That's my thing. I think you can come up with a... I hate to use the term shortcut. I think you can come up with a reasonable shortcut that's going to protect this. And then down the road, work out the fine detail. You know, the fine.
Well, we might be able to do that.
Are we as members okay with the spring box?
We get the spring box.
Yes, that's it. You see, that's the time. That's right there.
So the spring box isn't stopping the contract. So the spring box has to be done. Let Larry
and
be
it does
working on
the
it.
Well,
and while we work out the details on the contract,
we need to make sure that when we set this, before we start building that spring box, that how it's going to be paid for and that Dale's okay with how it's going to be paid for and how it's going to be ownership after that. So, again, I'm going to say it again. I request like 3 days to go through this before we put anything on the table.
There's enough witnesses right here right now.
Wait for us to decide.
Why is there a question?
Why does it take 3 days?
As to who's already written the checks out, who's paid for it, and who has said that DSROA is not going to pay anything on the system unless they hook onto it.
No, we're not going that way, though. Right. Yeah, see, that's one of the main issues. We're not going that way. The ranch is going to own it. The ranch is going to recoup the money.
The ranch does.
Yes.
In keeping with the suggestion, Brent wrote a letter here recently, I think, with 9 points on it. Brent, I've initialed each of those things. I'm in full agreement. Jody wrote another list with 8 or 9 things. I'm agreeable on those. except two items that have not been discovered yet. And so we can't agree on something that has not been discovered. But these things, the decisions that you're searching, have been made for 2 or 3 years. And they're still the same. I'm not changing my position on what I'm paying for. I'm not changing. I have not asked the Deer Springs to deed me any water. I have not asked for an easement over their land for their water. You know, if you look at these things, it's pretty common. There's no new things. I'm delighted that others now are learning what our commitment was, you know, during the last 2 or 3 years. To put in writing, I don't hesitate at that at all because it's already we're in agreement with it.
Well, why don't you make it, what were the two things that you cannot agree with? What are the two things that you cannot agree with that you won't sign off? Because maybe that is a stickler with what he's talking about.
And we won't know that until we work out the agreement.
Well, what was it?
Okay, he's got them there. He'll read them off to you.
Okay.
Her number four was, above that, how much is a connection going to cost the ranch or individual members? That is based on what the whole system costs and what the board determines as a hookup fee, not me.
We discussed this.
So this is something, again, it's in your hands.
But we could make that negotiable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And
so
number four. Number four, why have you not filed a point of use change application with the state?
You're reading.
Let him finish.
He's reading an old list.
Change of a point of. Until we know where the water is going to be, it would be kind of foolish last month or any time to file a change of use. It's optional. The state engineer.
No.
It's very easy for them to take our proposal on a point of use. So even in our committees the last 10 days, some of the people want it in a different use. I can give you the use position of my 5 lots because that's physical, engineered, you know, it's there. If the board or the membership wants to extend that before it goes to the state engineer's office,
no.
I don't have any objection to them doing that, but the reason I have not is because the area of use, in my mind, was a system serving multi-members. I know where my 5 lots are, but I really have always planned that system would serve other people.
Wait a minute, a second. You said you changed that since he has...
That's an old list that still has some pertinent details on it, but that's not the current list that Larry and I have been going through.
So, okay,
this is more that's happened even... That's going to happen even farther later, because in order for Dale to have this water come to his 5 personal lots, the water right that we have now has a specific use area that's assigned to it. When you move water outside that use area, you've got to reapply to the state to get that reassigned, and the membership here has to vote on it to make sure it's okay to reallocate that and change the use field. So those are things that still have to be done. Well, that has to do with this, but it's we haven't reached that point yet. But there's all kinds of little issues like that that we have not reached that yet. We haven't got to yet because we're still at the... I guess we're kind of like in the middle. We're like a third of the way, aren't we?
Okay.
So we're like a third of the way.
With the question I just asked, Dale, if the state has attentively approved this...
They just approved the plan of the spring box on how it's going to be laid. That's all.
And not where it's going?
And where it's going, but not the use of it.
The pipe, or
where it's going, but not where the use is.
One agency sent a letter, said we agree with the engineering and the way you're constructing it in.
That's
the state engineer's office that you need to change the point of use, mm-hmm. and you also need to change from irrigation to culinary.
Right.
Now some say, well, stupid, why didn't you change from irrigation to culinary? Because of the 135 acre feet I propose that only 10 acre feet be changed to culinary, and the other 124 feet stay as irrigation. Now, if you think you should change all of that to culinary, you lose all of it.
No.
Because it requires proof of beneficial use. So if you know what the laws and so forth are, we're following the guidelines of the State Engineer's Office, of the Division of Environmental Equality. We're following all of those things, but some think, oh, we should take more water out because somebody else may hook on in the next 10 years. Don't do it because you're losing it. Only change, my suggestion was only to change 10 acre feet, leave the 124 feet as it is, and it's all doable, and it will be done by the proper agencies at the right time.
I think someone has a comment back there before they fly away.
This has still got to be worked out anyway, and all these details don't have to be discussed here right now.
Exactly.
Please move on.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to do a motion for the spring box?
No, I want to have a couple days. I want to have this stuff gone over before we do that. I stand firm on that. I'm sorry, you're trying to rush this through.
I'm not trying to rush.
No, not you particularly.
I still want to do a motion to do the spring box because it's part of the process, and the contract and dollar amount, that is the
biggie, and it belongs to us anyway. Yeah. It belongs to the ranch.
Sure.
We don't have that in writing.
It doesn't have to be. The infrastructure is ours.
No. He's paying for it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We didn't give him. Did you give him a right away?
If he's paying for it, who's to say later on he doesn't
because,
come back to
the end? The infrastructure, it's like...
We're having a water committee meeting here in front of the board. Why don't you let the water committee do what the water committee is supposed to do?
I still want to
not water
approve the catchment installation as the water people work out the contract.
I think that's a good plan.
Hey.
You have a second?
I do second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
There you go.
No, because we have...
Bob didn't say anything.
No. How many saying no? And I don't think that because we still have this conflict of interest, I don't know that Dale and Dave need to be voting on that.
The ranch owns it.
You're saying that.
No.
We don't have any
you don't take your kitchen cabinets out of a house when you sell it.
I'm sorry, Art.
Why is there a pipeline in the ground if it's not going anyplace?
It's not. It's ours.
That's right.
Dale, does that pipeline belong to Deer Springs or is it belong to you?
It belongs to Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association, as does the water, as does the wet meadow.
So by giving an okay to do this, what we're doing is we're adding to our well.
No, I'm sorry, not yet. What's waiting 3 days? What is waiting 3 days? What is the whole issue with that?
What is the whole issue waiting a couple of days?
Why can't you let the water committee do what we're supposed to do and then report back and then we make a decision?
I asked if you... Okay, if we're rushing it, why don't you guys sit down for an hour today? It's a spring box. It's a spring box.
3 days.
No, the spring box is not a big issue.
Well, it's a lot of money being installed
in it. Yeah, but it's Dale's.
No, it's going to be our money.
We're not paying for it. Dale was ready to walk away. Let me say something. Dale was ready to walk away here a few minutes ago and said, look, the pipe's in the ground, I'm done with it. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, sit here and let's do this right. If he had left us with just $17,000 worth of pipe in the ground, it would be there 10 years from now because this ranch has no money.
Amen. If we're going to do it right, then let's get three bids on it and not just take one.
Well, look.
The whole idea here,
if Dale goes out and builds a spring box, my thought was, when Larry and I talked about this, Dale would pay us up front the we were thinking $10,000 for every hookup. So he has five
hookups.
Then
why are we charging five here?
Because that was done 20 years ago.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't. That pipe was not
paid. The policy was made 20 years ago.
Well, I can give you a fight against that. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Wait. But Larry's agreeable to that and thinking that Dale's agreeable to that. So we're not even at the same cost figure
yet. You cannot go more than what you don't know the end result. It might be $15,000.
And that's going to be a variable.
Okay,
it's going to be a variable.
That will be a variable.
Shauna, stop, please. Larry and I have talked about this. we're thinking that the spring box is going to cost about $50,000 to develop. And when Larry said when we had our, I was going to go by what our current policy was that each hookup was $5,000, he goes, Dirty, that policy was written 20-some years ago. The value of the water is so much more than that now. I think a reasonable, and we want to make sure that it's reasonable for the members and for Dale. So the reasonable amount to charge right now, we're thinking, is $10,000 per hookup. I said, but wait, if we do that now, Dale's going to think we're doing it just because it's Dale. He says, no, that is the value of what this could be. Now, to give, can we bring up a lot comparison here now or no?
I don't think it's valid.
Our plan was that we would take, he would pay us the $50,000, 10 for each hookup. We would take that $50,000 and we would build the spring box. We would pay Larry the subcontractor to build the spring box. Then there's no question about who owns it, who built it, who's it for, it's association owned. And that's the direction that I was heading with it. So okay. Those are some of the details that you guys don't even know because you weren't involved in that need to be worked out. So
I never even got an email from it.
No, because this is what we just worked out this last week.
Okay.
It shouldn't have to go
if
to
I'm wrong,
anything.
I'm wrong. You can dial back down. But
we're working
the first question would be is whether or not the infrastructure belongs to us.
Yes.
That's number one. A lawyer could say, hey, Dale could put $1 million into that field. It doesn't change who owns it.
No, but he has that $1 million back next
year. We just voted to let him go forward with the spring box. Nothing else.
I just can't agree with that yet.
What?
And while they're working on the contract.
Well, Dale, if you choose not to, apparently you can do what you want to try to keep the peace here, but I don't see that. I think it's going to hurt Deer Springs if Dale walks out of here right now.
We have no
money. If Dale walks out of here right now, he's shooting his own foot because we have a working in progress. It will work if you just
let
him do it.
Are you willing to wait?
It's up to Dale. He wants it. We're not the ones asking for the water.
If it's 3 days, it's not a big deal.
Exactly. Just 3 days.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing. What I'm saying is the board voted to let him go forward with it. If he agrees to let it go for 3 days, that's fine.
Is it a pride issue? Is that all?
Yeah, that's it.
Come on.
Who's pride?
On
it doesn't matter.
Four board members and three board members.
Thank you.
And is this a we win, score one for our four, for our three? Come on.
I'm looking at this money-wise, Debbie, and that's it. That is it. Nothing else. The legality of that infrastructure is ours. And you talk to any real estate. Any real estate agent will tell you that.
Until he comes and asks for it.
There's not a homeowner's organization in this country that wouldn't ask for at least three bids. And we're pushing it through.
Yeah, but he's paying for it.
No, we're paying for it.
Doesn't mean somebody couldn't do it cheaper or better.
Art. I'm going to go. I'm done.
Yeah, we're getting nowhere.
Yeah.
And that's why it really needs to be left.
Okay, so
the
I move
art.
That
you
we...
It.
We have another section to complete here. It's arts.
We do.
We have another agenda item. So there's no... should not be a dismissal yet.
We're not leaving. We're over the water system. I got a mine to do. And Bob's. Okay. That's, I didn't even know about this until the agenda.
It was just gravel.
Theft of gravel from Robert Allen's lot. Whenever we have a theft, we have to file a report. We discussed that, and I gave Paul orders to go ahead and file a report on all the stolen tools. Everything that's stolen from this ranch needs to be reported. Otherwise, there's no crime. No crime. So, that being said, you need to call the police.
Well, we'll forget it.
What?
Well, we'll forget it, because I've got partially solved on it anyway.
You know who took it?
Well, they didn't get it off my property, but they were setting it up to get it off.
Okay.
Whoa.
Well, I need to talk to you a little bit more about that. We already discussed Lot 1. The removal of Lot 11's trailers is in the process. They've been working out there.
Good.
They've even got volunteers to help. I gave them till the 1st of July, but if they're working on it, I think everybody would agree to give them the time they need to get them off this year. It's been 15 years.
Yeah.
So that is, I stopped out there and talked with them. They're doing as much as they can do with their family members. And they have been not just doing it once, they've been out there three times now working on it. So it
is.
Lot
1?
Yeah. No, Lot 11.
Oh.
Okay, the Paul and Nancy's retirement and employment contract and ideas. I don't know if Paul ever finished up.
Let's keep Nancy, fire Paul.
I don't know if Nancy or Paul ever finished up their side of this. The contract.
It's like an employment agreement for just.
That was just a boilerplate.
But we need to have, like, because we're salaried, we're not
the only
hourly.
That's been built out through there,
and we're not.
Was Jessup's building for us?
We're 24/7.
Okay. But I need to talk to
you can't
them
say, okay, you have, you know, this much sick time. We're here all the time. It's not a normal. It just doesn't fall within the regular, you know, the normal realms.
So I'm wondering if they were actually on ours.
Okay, we should, you know what, it was being pushed back in January, and now it's time that we push it as a board to get it done. We'll sit down if we need an hour to sit here in a workshop with you, we can do that. But we've got to get it done. There's so many things, and again, it's normally because we're not in agreement with anything, but I think the workshop is the way to go. Because I saw it work with Dale, Brent, and Larry the other day, which was the whole backbone of what took place after that. And I trust Brent, so I just dropped the ball. Said, Brent, go. And plus I had advice from Brent. You know, and I respect Brent, and that's something we need to just keep, get these things off our plate once and for all. This next one is, all this was food for thought. We have 300 members.
I got some pertinent questions before you leave.
Only three. 1, 2, 3 board members here. We don't have a quorum yet.
Four.
Joe, yeah, but he's not listening.
Joe, listen.
Joe.
I'm talking.
Okay. Now we understand. Well, item E. I discussed it with Jody, and this is just food for thought. Are we being fair to our members losing $2,000 a year and $200,000 in capital with issues, responsibility issues, life issues? We have 4 lots that are costing the ranch $2,000 a year. Okay, I'm not saying sell them, so don't everybody jump me. We need to figure ways to start at least covering the $485 a year. We complain about not having enough money for this, and this. But yeah, we got money sitting here. It's like the person that won't go out and buy a quart of milk that's 85 years old and has $300,000 in the bank. We can't say we don't have money. We got to look at stuff realistically. Got to look at the budget realistically. Why are we without the membership sitting down, all 300 members, saying, okay, it's okay to lose $2,000 a year? I'm just food for thought. That's all this is. It's not a discussion. If you guys got ideas, let's talk about it. But we are losing, as near as I can tell, $200,000 in capital, which we could have done all the springs ourselves. We wouldn't be even dealing with Dale right now.
You mean from the loss of the income of an assessment on those lots? Is that what you're saying?
Well, both. Look at 10 years at let's say, $350.
No, that's what you're saying, though.
Yeah, we're losing major thousands of dollars every year. Yeah, it's fine. We own these assets. But our assets haven't changed. If they were gaining, if you had stock in AT&T and it was going up 13% a year instead of going down, what would you do? You'd sell it. You'd get rid of it. Our lots values haven't done much of anything. And you know that. Mm-hmm. And it's partially the board's fault. So anyway, that's just food for thought. We're losing $2,000 a year right now. What are we going to do about it? Why not? Dale had an idea for his own lots. Why not lease it for 5 years? Lease a lot for 5 years. If Val wants to raise cattle on it or whatever, lease it to him for 5 years. 191, someone wants to put a little trailer up there, put in a septic, let them go for it. But look, we need to get some money back out of that. It's not fair to all the lot owners. I personally, as a lot owner and my wife, we don't think it's right giving away $2,000 a year. If we're going to give it away, let's at least invite the Boy Scouts out here and donate it. You know, something. We were just giving it away and nothing's coming back to us. And everybody, when Bill did the original design of this place, hands down, I gave him hands, you know, clap, hey, good idea. But we've proven 35 years later that they're not being used. Val is the only one who's taken use of it, and it's costed the ranch probably $8,000 since he started working on it.
Are those lots spread out, or are they together?
No, there's only two out. Together. One's 190, I believe. 190? Yeah. 190, lot 1 and 74 and 5?
74, 75.
74 and 75.
Okay. It's just, you know what? We talk about being fair. That's why this came up. We're not being fair to the rest of the lot owners.
Well, here's how I look at that, and this is totally different than your approach on it, but I look at it, those four lots sit there as a savings for us that someday when we need to have more money for something, we have five cabins burned down or something, then like, oh, heck, we have a lot we can sell. Let's use it now for that, for the emergency. And when property values maybe are higher, but I don't know. They're stagnant for the last
10 years. No,
yeah.
10 years. I paid the same amount of money, 14 years ago for a lot as I can buy them right now.
Yeah.
So that money is stagnant, even at 1%.
At this time, 0%.
Yeah, at this time it is.
Even at 0%, we can, and we have about $200,000 there. I don't know what Dale would think, but he'd probably, I'm probably way off, but I know what I know. I think lot one would probably go for 80 and 90, if not more. It's the most gorgeous lot on the ranch. I don't want to sell anything. I just want to come up with ideas how to benefit everybody. Those lots are not benefiting everybody. You and I talked about that. There's one person benefit from lot one, and, you know, God bless him, he's made it into you could put a golf course out there.
A house sanctuary.
But that being said, you know, how would somebody feel if, okay, I want lot 190 up there, it's always been my dream, can I put a fence in it and start using it? Will it not cost me nothing? And I'll do all the work in there? Would that be okay? You know, it's just...
Can we develop them into...
Yeah, the possibility of putting, take 5 acres of it, most beautiful camp spots on the ranch would be up there. With water. Of course, you can't drink it, but... Anyway, so if that was a problem with the...
bring a new reason.
And after this meeting, I'm scratching F.
G?
Membership give back.
I think we as a board need to start taking care of our own problems without the membership involved.
So do we have new business?
Huh?
Do we have new business?
Nope.
I have new business.
Oh.
We have new business.
Robert.
Let's get the old first.
First of all,
wait, Robert did report.
I'm Sharon.
My wife, everybody. I think most everybody's met her.
So I have a proposal, which is, does everybody love the way that these board meetings are going right now, or are you with me that maybe we could make a little tweak or two here for them to be a little more effective? Here's the deal. Breaks and refreshments and things like that. I'm like,
oh my God, luxury stuff?
Food, I mean, just little things like that. I was just sitting here as a Brit's first board meeting. Very long, very drawn out, emotional, whatever. I retired from Southwest Airlines, my final career, and I'm just sitting here looking at the way things get done or don't, and I'm like, okay. After 4 hours, everybody gets a little
sweet
with no food. So that's just basic housekeeping things like that. I'm sitting here going, would anybody like to brainstorm with me on making different processes, procedures, or what have you, for making the meetings more effective?
Well, I think that's a very good
communication, and I think
it could be a 5-minute discussion that you could have, but I would love
it's an air break, so you need
to have some kind of ideas thrown out maybe for it, because it's tense. You leave here, you're feeling like, it's my first one, I'm just...
And this is a short one, hon.
This is a short one, and it's very...
We've had 8-hour marathons before.
You hate to come, and when you leave, you wish you hadn't come.
You know, exactly.
I'm just sitting here thinking, what could we do to make it run where when you leave, you feel like, okay, I got to know a few people a little bit better.
We did pretty good for 6 months here. We just had a stumbling block, and I'm loving the way the meeting went.
Well, I'm just proposing that if anybody would like to do that as new business, we can talk, and then at next meeting we can give, some ideas. So, there you go. That's my new business.
Okay.
Thank you, Sharon. We didn't get Bob to talk.
He didn't have one, did he?
No.
I don't want to do that too many times in a row, Bob, but I got a lot of work for you. You got to get with...
Do your
committees. Get together another time. Bring me information. I can't tell you how many times I've been saying that.
Well, and part of my trouble is I did training and facilitation stuff at Southwest, and so I was sitting here. I got all these cool ideas, like we can have breakout sessions beforehand, and everybody can have like big posters, and you put actually verbiage on there that people can talk about versus just specific. I think everybody was in agreement in substance in the first 3 minutes.
Communication.
Mm-hmm. And then we had another 27 minutes where issues came up. So
no, an hour and 27.
So I'm sitting here firing off, you know, all these ideas, but I'm just one person, and it's just one meeting I've been to. So, I just can't help but think that there's a better way to do it. And if anybody would like to talk about that, or at least just, I don't know that that requires a vote on your part. I'm just throwing it out there. I'll be around after the meeting.
Okay.
Sharon, you sweet, innocent child, you.
Anything else, Sandy? I know you. Did I take care of.
Yeah, I said. Okay, welcome to Gary Springs by now.
I was like, somebody got a jar of peanut butter.
Sometimes we hand out candy. Linda brings us candy all the time.
Can we get out of here?
No, I bring.
Oh, bars. Oh, yeah. Granola bars.
Granola bars. Yeah.
So I can make a motion when you're here.
Yep.
Hey, I'm making a motion that we adjourn.
Second it.
When's our next meeting?
Before you adjourn.
Okay.
Did you have
I think with all the work that...